The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos!
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all their stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Arthard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Arthard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. OTAs are in full swing. We're getting a real taste of football here at Gillette Stadium. Real? Paul and Andy are here. Eric is still prancing and francing, and Kevin is in the booth. Where's Pepe today? No tweeting? No live tweeting?
Pepe's in California for a wedding.
Oh, yeah, he told us that.
Oh, his or someone else?
No, a friend. Santiago.
Okay. All right, well, good for him.
Anyway, Ray-Ray's here. Ray-Ray's here. You don't give her a mention?
She's learning the buttons in there.
She's waiting for Eric.
We'll get right to it. Paul and Andy just got back from the Thursday OTA here at Gillette Stadium, which included a practice and player availability. So let's first go to what you guys saw at the practice today.
Well, I think you start with the people who were either working on the side with the trainers. That's a group that had Gronkowski, Matthew Slater, Ebner, Brandon Spikes, and then I had a report of Myron Pryor. I did not see that with my own eyes. And then the guys not seen at all, heavy on offensive linemen, Logan Mankins, Sebastian Vollmer, Brian Waters, and then some other guys.
Those are your three main guys.
Although I did have a Vollmer sighting last weekend at the local barbecue in Wrentham. He was with Dan Connolly.
Well, he's around. He was at the Matt Light.
He was at Matt Light's
ceremony
thing too. Yeah,
and he was walking.
Yeah, and he was huge. I mean, he's ordering like three things of ribs. Oh my God. Anyway,
Daniel Fells also among the missing.
Yep.
And interesting note before we get into anything else: number 69, Silvestro. What's his name?
Alex Silvestro.
Alex Silvestro playing tight end because there weren't really tight ends out there. It was Hernandez, his guy. Pee Wee Herman from Iowa.
Brad.
And then Sylvester. I happened to watch my one play, and he looked like a defensive end playing tight end.
Yeah.
Bounced right up. Well, to be fair, Hernandez does the same thing, but bounced right off his hands.
Wow. We're starting already. So what were they doing?
And Hernandez didn't have shorts on. He just wears spandex.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like that.
Put your junk away.
In terms of the evaluations, pretty difficult, as you know, Fred. In making even this stuff a little bit more difficult than normal is the fact in the Patriots, as most of our listeners know, because I'm sure they've seen the video that we put up earlier in the week, didn't have their practice jerseys on, so there were no numbers. You sort of had to look at either the back of the helmet or the shorts, if the guys had shorts on. Like in Hernandez's case, he didn't have any shorts on. We wish he did.
Please.
So it was a little hard to identify exactly who everybody was. But, you know, you saw some passing work. You saw even some 11-on-11 at the end of the the practice. In terms of specific things, it looked like there was some four-man lines defensively.
Yep.
You know, I don't know. I don't want to read more into that than other than saying today on May 24th,
but
they looked like they had some four-man lines.
It was the versatile four-man lines. It was
right.
Ninkovich at left end and your guy, Trevor Scott, at right end.
Guys that they could
They're
easily stand
so
up
do
if they want.
Anything you want. out of that. It had Love and Will Fork in the middle. No surprise there. And by the way, Will Fork was fully dressed, multiple layers, long sleeves, and just sweating through all of it. I mean, he was sweating like a 400-pound man.
We would be remiss if we did not include the what seems like daily occurrence last year during training camp and the times that we got to see Chad Ochocinco needing to be directed to where to line up.
And jumping off sides and running a lap.
Really?
He's done.
No, I'm dead 100% serious. You know how, Deion Branch had to move him.
My hope is gone.
In a lineup.
I was leading the hope parade of him. I'm done. Yep. He doesn't know where to go, and he jumped off sides. It's clear, I joked, he's in midseason form from a year ago. Nothing has changed. Same Chad Ochocinco. Thanks for playing.
Sticking with that group, how did Brandon Lloyd look?
Good.
From what you could see.
I actually thought he, I mean, tough to evaluate, but I agree with Andy. I thought he did look good. I thought
especially, he made an acrobatic
move to catch
a ball on the sideline and then sort of pirouette and jump over ball bags without killing himself.
That's ball bag. I thought quick feet. And
not Hernandez's. It was a bag of balls.
Wow. I was listening a little to Brandon Lloyd after practice because he came out for availability, and he was talking about how whatever it is, the way McDaniels teaches the offense works for him.
Yeah, he didn't really – I don't think he quite explained. A couple of different questions sort of were looking for that. I was one of those. He didn't really have a good – he just kind of likes McDaniels. It was,
yeah.
For lack of a better way to explain it, he didn't really have a good – reason as to why I asked him, what about, you know, he made no secret, I mean, obviously he fell in love with McDaniels in this system. What about this system? Why do you think it was so good for your skill set? And he just said, I just felt comfortable right away. He didn't really get into any specific things as to why, but he's clearly very excited to be here. Clearly this is where he wanted to be. I mean, that's no news from today. He was tweeting and talking about that throughout the offseason before he did sign. So he's excited to be a part of this. And he did talk about all the wide receivers, Andy, and how talented and accomplished this group is, and said he's never been a part of anything like that before. You know, just the amount of professionals, for lack of a better word. You know, the Gaffneys,
right.
Gonzalez, Stallworth,
right.
Ocho,
Gonzalez
Welker.
Wasn't out there either.
Yeah, Anthony Gonzalez was not out of practice today.
It's not good for him.
Nope.
Okay, but so...
Oh, I also, not surprising, but Bill Belichick definitely leaned towards the defensive side of the ball and the defensive line in particular when they split up kind of offense-defense. McDaniels obviously is kind of in control on the offensive field, and I saw a lot of time with the defensive line slash ends, outside linebackers all working in the far area with Bill and Patrick Graham.
We talked about reports of Joseph Addai being maybe thinner than we thought. I agree. First time I saw him up
Paul
close.
Thought the opposite.
Bigger, I thought he was.
Well,
what I was
tall,
talking
about
in terms of height.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. But as far as frame, I didn't think he was that big. And maybe he's going to put some pounds on, you know, now that he's here. But
yeah, I was surprised with how tall he was, not necessarily thick.
I thought he looked like a normal running back. I didn't really have a reaction either way.
So he was out for availability. Kyle Arrington, Devin McCourty were out for availability. Dan Copen came out.
I asked him if he's happy to be competing for a job for the first time in his career. No, I didn't ask it like that, but I did ask him about every other year. I said, you come to this as the presumed starter at center, and I'm not sure that's the case anymore. And I said, are you competing with Dan for a starting job? And he said, you're always competing here. And then he said, maybe minus number 12, but everybody's always competing here for a job and a role. So I do think it's a little different. I think with him in particular, because I don't think he has any versatility, really.
Right.
And I know he has a great, you know, there were a lot of questions about his relationship with Brady and how Brady says, aside from his wife's, Dan's butt is the one he likes best or whatever.
What?
No. That's how it was posed to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, all those other guys, Gallery, Conley, they have versatility. Copen, I think, is either your center or not.
Yeah, so, I agree with that. But does that lead you to keep him and start him?
Maybe.
So you have the more versatile guy around,
possibility.
To, you know, rather than having to take him out of the starting lineup.
If there's not a significant gain with Copen.
And I think we can assume there's not. I mean, that's probably pretty close.
Well, Copen has never played guard here, but does that mean he can't?
I don't think he can.
Does it mean he can't?
Yeah.
No. But I
think he'd get his ass kicked.
How many years? Eight years? Yeah. 9 years? I think at this point we probably would have seen him play some guard, at least in practice.
I also think he's undersized and understrengthed. I mean, he's a 290-pound type.
He is a little bit undersized.
I'm not sure he's overly strong, so I wouldn't care for that.
And, Freddie, Andy talked about all the different guys that weren't there for offensive linemen, Waters, Vollmer, who am I missing?
Mankins.
Not reading anything into it, but there was a group that Gallery was a part of with Solder and those kind of, and Conley. So Gallery looked like he was playing guard in that particular group. So that's, you know, just again, it's May 24th. It's right. An OTA. It doesn't mean anything necessarily for September, but just initial observation.
And you're specialists in midseason form.
Oh yeah,
big day for Zoltan Mesko. Yeah. Really nice spiraling long punt. And then Steven Duskowski kicking from the end line toward the goalpost, you know, from the side. Dink! First one. Went 2 of 4, hitting them from the, dead on, just hitting the post. Very impressive.
From the side.
Wow.
It was very impressive.
That's good.
And then one of the most impressive things I've ever seen that will mean absolutely nothing. Mesko was punting. Chris Zeppelin, was down fielding them. He's one of the extra kickers that they have that they signed recently.
Jag.
So he's fielding the punts, and Gostkowski is simulating a snap to Mesko. So anyway, Keplin throws it back to Gostkowski in the air, probably about 40 yards, right? He flicks it to him. So rather than catching it and flicking it to Mesko, Gostkowski, like a touch pass, kicked it with his left foot in the air on the fly. Right to Mesko. Hit him right in the chest.
Wow.
And Mesko was probably about 15 yards away from Gostkowski at the time. It was one of the most amazing things. I would venture to say they could not do that again if they tried.
Wow. That's good stuff. How was
Good stuff.
How was the overall tempo?
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
You know, there was some yelling. McDaniels chewed out some receivers for lining up properly.
Ocho. No, not necessarily. This was a different time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard Patricia chewing out some of the linebackers. Think maybe a couple F-bombs flew out of his mouth. So I thought there were, you know, the new coaches, the coordinators kind of asserting themselves. And I thought there was a pretty good tempo.
Any returns, kickoff or punt, where we could judge acceleration? Anybody stick out that way?
No. I mean, the punt returners were mostly Welker and Edelman. Your normal
Welker
guys.
And Edelman seemed like they alternated. We should also add Jeremy Ebert, seventh-round pick from Northwestern. His school is not done. He has the quarter system that was not here today.
So he'll be on the Taylor Price stunted career path.
Right. But he's a guy that I would like, just in terms of what you just talked about, Freddie, that acceleration,
right.
That speed.
Right.
I'd like to just see him in that kind of a setting without the, just to see, is he special fast, as Andy likes to say.
He is supposed to be 4.3. He's not a 4.19 like Dante Stallworth, who couldn't run under a deep ball that was thrown to him. I'm just saying, he claims he's fast. He couldn't run under a deep ball.
Also bobbled another one.
Now, the news yesterday
I've actually already cut Stallworth and Ocho in my head.
The news yesterday was that Chandler Jones signed his first-round contract. Was he out there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Any
right defensive end slash outside linebacker.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's it.
Saw him get lost in coverage once, but that's about,
He's a rookie.
I didn't see.
Parcells says, ball and tall grass.
Yep.
Kevin Youkilis, did we mention Kevin Youkilis?
Kevin
Youkilis
was out there.
He was playing linebacker, too.
No, he was watching.
He was out of practice. Actually speaking with Mr. Kraft for a little while.
And Bill and Bears.
Okay.
Yeah, Robert was out there.
If people don't know, Kevin Youkilis is now Tom Brady's brother-in-law.
Yep.
So he's taking advantage of that status.
Which is interesting because Bobby Carpenter isn't he Brady Quinn's brother-in-law?
Was that right? I don't know.
I believe you're right.
So therefore, you can connect like Brady to Brady or something.
I believe you're
right. One of those games of separation.
Sure. Okay, good.
Bobby Carpenter has long ass hair, too.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
That blonde, it's longer than Gallery's.
That Viking hair.
And I think because it's blonde, maybe it stands out a little bit more, but it's
the
long.
Viking hair. He looks like Kyle Turley.
Right.
He's a Viking.
I didn't cut
one of Fred's best
didn't
ever.
Didn't cut him yet.
Carpenter?
No.
No.
Couldn't see enough to cut him.
All right, so.
Yeah, it was hard to keep track of what was going
without the numbers.
Without
it's
the
really
numbers.
Hard. What about availability? Anybody say anything noteworthy after the practice?
No. Kyle Arrington told me he got married.
That's nice to know.
That's about it.
Anything else?
I spoke to Lloyd. I was in a little bit with McCourty. McCourty was, you know, just his regular team player self. I mean, just very, on board with the program.
Well, I heard Arrington. He was very. He wasn't.
Arrington is a very
impatient. He was. Yeah.
He's a very outgoing personality.
Telling our media relations department, I have a weight room commitment. I need to get out of here.
Oh, guy leads the NFL in interceptions 1 year, and suddenly he's telling the media relations he's got to go.
He's a good guy. He's a very outgoing personality. I think fans like to get to know him.
I think they would enjoy the guy who's on Propecia, from fans who've listened to the Gerard Mayo interview.
Okay.
Speaking of which, Tom Curran is on Propecia and is getting hair transplant surgery.
Is he really? So he's taking.
I asked him if I could talk about it.
Oh, okay.
He's going to do commercials for Robert Leonard.
He's taking this TV thing seriously.
Yep.
Then.
They're filling in the back.
Good for him.
He was talking quite a bit about it. Paul was very interested.
Yeah. I was very interested.
Right up until he found out it's over 6,000.
No, I would never pay.
Well, isn't it by the plot of land that they have to fill?
He said each surgery is 6,000.
I would never ever pay a dime
strip off the back, pull it out. Sew that together, take that off, pull the hair out.
I got to get the eye doctors.
Are you awake when they're doing all this?
I wouldn't assume so. But I told him when I see him with it, I'm going to go up and start pulling on it to see if it sticks. I started laughing to myself. You're talking about Rob Ninkovich talked and the typical Andy A-hole question. Somebody said, how encouraging is it that they use 6 of 7 draft picks on defensive players? That's going to be very encouraging. So he answers and I go, He said encouraging, but couldn't you look at it the other way, that they really felt you needed a lot of new players on defense?
Yeah, I don't think that's encouraging at
and
all
he,
for a defensive
said,
player.
Yeah,
right?
But, you know, that's, you know, the more players you have, good talent, I'm excited, they're young. Because he's kind of the veteran right now of that edge group. And, you know, he talked about playing a lot last year, and if some of these guys can play and guys can get water and rotate,
right,
it could be a good thing. But I just thought it was funny that you're posing it to a mainstay defensive player that it's encouraging that they use 6 picks on defense.
Oh.
No, that means they sucked.
Yeah, knowing me, I'd be really territorial.
What does that mean?
I wouldn't look at it as – I'd be looking at it as, you know –
Why are they trying to replace
him? Yeah,
right.
Damn, I got
to – Now,
you know,
I don't think they're trying to replace him.
I don't either.
He played
90%. I don't look at it as an encouraging thing for a defensive player.
Right. It means your defense sucked.
Right.
And some of the people were asking the Matt Light follow-ups. Matt Light said – you know, they need help on defense. They need young guys that can get them off the field. He listed Wilfork, Mayo, and, I don't know, somebody else, Chung. And McCourty didn't really take the bait. He just kind of said, you know, I'm sure Matt Light would tell you the same thing I'm going to tell you when he was playing. You're just trying to work. You're just trying to get better at whatever you do, and that's what we're trying to do on defense. He had a very good.
Yeah, but knowing how competitive these guys are, I think they would look at any addition as, what does this mean to me?
Well,
what
Brewski has openly talked
about my status
about
with this team.
Brewski said every year the first thing he would do is see, did they draft an inside linebacker?
Exactly.
Did they draft somebody who's going to take my job, try and take my job?
Absolutely.
Remember Larry Izzo doing that? Larry Izzo used to spend the whole – he would do the roster breakdown. You know how we always joke and we do the Pulse story?
Yeah, yeah.
He would do that every year.
But that's a little harder because you're doing it with every position.
Guy. Well, like, yeah. And he would sit there and every year he thought, you know, what do you have to do?
Right.
Who do you have to beat out to make the roster?
And
now,
I remember Brewski didn't really get along with Monty Bizell when they brought him in as a newbie at the inside linebacker position. So, yeah, these guys, as they should be. I mean, that's how we're all wired. Look out for number one.
Right, right. Absolutely. Especially when you're, you know, one of those A-type personalities like these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is, you know, what does it mean to me?
Yep.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. So there is your recap of the first OTA that we had access to.
And you should have got Dragon, naturally speaking, and just had that.
I was just
right
thinking,
in.
If that were on the blog right now, we'd be done.
Right. So, and that's it for this week, right? We don't have any more access until next week.
The next two Thursdays following this, and then the following week after that will be the 3-day
so chances
mandatory
are
it'll
be the same time. We'll have to do the show at 1 o'clock again.
I would assume.
Yeah. So, all right. We should probably get to some emails, shall we?
Sure.
Shall we?
Let's do that. If I can figure out how to get to it. What's going on
we'll
here?
We'll just talk amongst ourselves.
Today, Junior.
Did you see the tweet that went out today from an Indian paper that had the report of Giselle being pregnant and Tom Brady, but it was the wrong Tom Brady, the photo? Apparently it's some like rugby player from somewhere, a nobody Tom Brady.
Right.
And
That's gaining heat. What you said about the Brazilian paper saying that she might be pregnant. NFL.com pretty much
has no class.
They cited it, but they almost assumed that it was true.
Well, that's what they've been doing. That guy was on the board. Whoever emailed in saying they've become like a TMZ, they have. They'll just run with anything.
Well, you know what was funny? Just on that note, sorry to interrupt you, Paul, but yesterday the collusion story that came out, we'll talk about that. But the moment that came out, Albert Breer had a story on NFL.com, and like 2 seconds later, all of a sudden it started linking to the wrong story, and then it was gone. And then about an hour later, it was republished. But something he wrote in that story
could have been used against him in a court of law.
They didn't like. Yeah.
It's funny. What I don't understand, right, wrong, or indifferent with the Tom Brady thing, you know, Giselle's pregnant. Why would NFL – I don't care.
That's their new thing.
But why is that NFL news?
But that's their new thing.
Oh, well, I think they
I mean, draft day, they had the attractive wives and girlfriends.
I don't blame –
But that's my point.
Paul, I don't
– You know, why are they doing that?
I don't blame them for doing it because I think there's a certain percentage of fans who are interested in these guys' private lives. And they realize that.
But NFL.com?
Yeah.
Unless I don't think people go to NFL.com for that.
No, but they
want
to
change that.
That's what they want.
They
want
to change
that. You go there getting football
and – That's a bad move.
I don't think so. I think that if you want to be the destination for NFL news,
then
you got to
put NFL news up on your website.
You got to do it. Players' lives, like I said, a certain percentage of fans want to know that stuff. And unless you want them going somewhere else and leaving your site or not coming in the first place, you got to keep up with
it. For NFL news?
They include under the umbrella NFL news players.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, when a guy gets arrested, you got to give him credit. They've been putting it up there.
That's different. That affects a team.
I know, but
a guy getting arrested, that's NFL news because he potentially might not be available to play.
That is true.
A guy having a baby doesn't affect the ability to play.
But I think
what if he misses the game?
You know what I'm talking about. Then that's a story.
Right. No,
if Tom Brady can't play in a game because his wife is having a baby, then I understand why it's on NFL.
But don't you think NFL fans are interested in that?
No.
See, well, you aren't, but I think there is a percentage that is. You know, I really do.
I agree with you, Fred. The only thing I was saying is, because it's on NFL.com in this era, doesn't lend any legitimacy to the story.
No.
They've proven that they're going down that road of they're going to put those up.
And all they did was cite that Brazilian paper. They didn't have any additional thing.
I just think I don't think that's the way they should be going. I think they should go the other way.
Well,
let's make it about football.
They should blog about jersey numbers.
Well,
is that what you want?
I mean,
by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, Andy. One of the most embarrassing days that we've had around here in a while in terms of our media. The Patriots put out their roster prior to OTAs earlier this week. We posted it on Patriots.com, the roster itself. So there's a lot of guys that got numbers. You would have thought that we posted the playbook the way it was tweeted. It's unbelievable to me why NFL writers would go to such lengths to report what number a player is wearing. It's on the roster. It's there. What was the way one person put, you know, it would appear as if Gerard Warren would be 92. It wouldn't appear that way. It's on the roster that way. Like somehow this is news. That it was an embarrassment.
Well, that stuff does get changed down the line. But yeah, I mean, there is like this weird fascination with who's wearing what number.
Among the media.
Now, on certain teams, like if somebody showed up with a 55 in San Diego, I could see someone questioning that. But, you know, apart from that, what's the big deal? You know, who cares?
But, you know, and I do get your point. You know, like 80 around here or, you know, whatever. You
know. Tim Brown's number?
Yeah, Tim Brown. Mr. Brown. He went with Mr. Brown after.
After he said Tim, he did.
So, I mean, I understand there's some numbers that are a little bit more iconic than others, and when they're given out, it, you know, it creates a little bit of a ripple, but that's not what this was about. I mean, some people were literally going down the entire roster telling you who everybody, what every player's number was. And this was not one or two different people either. And I had a talk with someone, in media relations, and they were astounded by it. Could not believe that people would waste their time with such nonsense. But, you know,
it's one of the few times you and media relations agreed.
Not this particular. Oh, okay. Generally, I'm okay with that. This particular source.
But getting back to NFL.com, I have to give them credit because they are trying to compete more in the opinion forum. And if you look down the side of there, they have like 20 writers now.
Mm-hmm. See, but I think that's the way you go.
Yeah.
I don't think that you try to get down in the muck. I think you stop trying to be a propaganda machine and analyze. Tell people what's right and what's wrong. Like the fact you brought up the collusion thing, that's not necessarily a story I think that would be front and center on NFL.com 3 years ago.
Right.
I think that's a good thing. Don't pretend that bad things aren't happening. Don't pretend the concussion issue is not an issue. Don't hide from it.
Right.
And I think that's what people want. But I don't think they want to know about Brady's wife.
I think if you want all the readers, you have to cover all the angles.
Right.
And that's like ESPN. You have a uni watch guy. You just have to break it up. You have to make sure there's some sort of delineation between this is news, this is kind of our gossip entertainment area, this is our fantasy area.
Well, we've done
area.
It on Patriots.com. We now have the blog analysis tab in our news.
Right.
Yep. And, you know, the NFL research has shown from NFL.com that when you label it opinion or commentary, it gets more clicks than straight news. That's what people want. Because nowadays you have access to the news everywhere. You know, you don't need to rely on the Boston Globe to tell you what happened in the game. I know, you know, this is what we did last year. We know what happened in the game. We watched it. We listened to it. We saw the highlights a million times. What do you think?
Certainly
won't. That's what they want to know. What do you think, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart?
Certainly won't rely on the Times-Picayune, who will no longer publish on Mondays.
What's that?
Yeah, they went to 3 days. Sunday, Wednesday, Friday or something. I don't know.
Wow.
All right. Well, they're not the first. They're the biggest to do it.
Sunday? So they're going to go 3 days a week?
Maybe four. Three or four. It's Sunday and then a couple weekdays.
Well, USA Today announced yesterday that they've laid off a bunch of sports people and are rejiggering how they cover sports. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes out.
And laid people off, too. There was
really interesting. It's a dying business.
I don't know if it's changing. It's evolving.
And they're doing a
website. I think the opportunities are in different places.
There will be news stories every day on their website. They're driving it in that direction. They're going to, you know.
Yeah.
I think they did it.
It's
in,
evolving.
There was a Michigan paper owned by the same company, I think a smaller, that they kind of tested it with, and now they're going in that direction with a more major paper.
All right. Well, food's here, and so are the emails. So first things first, food, and then when we come back, the emails.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championships return to Gillette Stadium this Memorial Day weekend. May 26th through the 28th, don't miss your chance to see the nation's best lacrosse at New England's premier sports venue. Tickets for all 3 days start at just $75 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. For group rates and other special incentives, please call 508-549-0178 for more information. 3 days, three championships, the ultimate lacrosse experience.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. To honor Fenway's 100th birthday, we're having a one-week ticket sale on Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Ace Ticket has your Boston Celtics playoff tickets on sale right now. Be there as the Celtics chase Banner 18. Treat yourself or someone special and take advantage of our free and easy pickup by the Garden in Fenway Park. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made nationals. Great. Where are nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new book. Vaz.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain.
It's time for the Fred Kirsch Feet for Men Manscaping Tip of the Week.
This is from someone named Andrew. The title of his review is Do Not Put on Knob and Bollocks. Being a loose cannon who does not play by the rules, the first thing I did was ignore the warning and smear this all over my knob and bollocks. The bollocks I knew and loved are gone now. In their place is a maroon-colored bag of agony, which sends stabs of pain up my body every time it grazes against my thigh or an article of clothing. I am suffering so that you don't have to. Heed my lesson. Do not put on knob and bollocks. Although I am giving the product a 5, because despite the fact that I think my bollocks might fall off, they are now completely hairless.
Now, here's the always smooth Fred Kirsch.
Did you guys print out all those reviews yet?
I haven't printed them out yet.
When did I say it? 2 weeks ago?
Well, Matt left, and he's the only one who does anything around here.
No, okay, because I would like to read one of those per show. I think they're funny. And there's a lot of good ones.
I'll Google
you need
it
a
right
haircut?
Now,
your hair looks kind of like poofy.
Poofy? Oh, it's humid, maybe.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Do you have the top down in the caddy?
Let's get to the emails at webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-298-0398. Who bought lunch today? Was it James Pettigrew? Okay, good. Thanks, James.
The best.
Yep, he is. We've got to get him over here. I liked our guest last Tuesday.
Paulie.
Paulie from L.A. He was good.
Won't be seeing him no more.
You know what? He wasn't shy because he's an actor, so he would... You know, he was able to contribute.
He was good.
Pretty well.
My favorite was when you and I were arguing, I said something that wasn't totally accurate.
Right.
And he goes, no, that's not what he said.
Right,
like he jumped right in.
Why do you let him get away with that?
That was good.
It was funny watching him sort of anticipate the arguments. You know what I mean?
Because he's like, scouted us before.
Yeah, he's seen this movie before. He knew where it was going.
Yep. Matt is in Cranston, Rhode Island, and he says he's a big fan of the show. He's been listening for about 2 years. Love Paul. Fred's pretty good, too. Andy, well, at least he's amusing, and unlike that douche Mike Reese, wow, that's harsh, he knows about the sports that he covers. And those guys in the booth usually do a good job, too.
Just show that he knows nothing there.
But I'm writing today to make sure that Andy sees the latest Mike Reese mailbag piece. The answers are pure Mike Reese, two parts BS, one part pretend insider, one part actual knowledge. But there was a section that I wanted to make sure Andy read. It involved a reader calling Reese out for predicting that Darius Butler would have a breakout 2010 and Cunningham would be a big star in 2011 and asked him to curse a young defender for 2012. I was partially impressed with Reese actually publishing it.
I'm surprised you're actually reading this.
And
now, Mike's a friend of the show, man. This is a little harsh.
But Mike's answer was a laugh out loud. Devin, like Matt Light, I've retired that prediction. Very well done, holding me accountable. So Mike, for some reason, just wanted to get that off his chest.
We're all wrong, often.
You know, if this was like about the crap sheet, then I'd be all for it.
Right.
But everybody here gets made fun of.
Oh,
everybody.
Yeah. That's true. We are equal opportunity rippers.
That's true. I mean,
and we have to even rip the guys that we like Mike.
Yeah,
Sorry, Mike.
Mike's far from a douche. Yeah.
Yeah, nowhere near
a
douche.
Yeah, this guy, people in Cranston, they're pretty angry.
Isn't that where your girl's from?
Brian Morey was from Cranston.
Is your girl from Cranston?
My girl?
Yeah.
You know what a Cranston is?
Oh. Tell me.
Look it up in Urban Dictionary.
What is? Did you know there's a whole Scalavino page of like 10 different entries?
Really?
For what a Scalavino
is? Because
of
him?
Yes. Obviously, our listeners did it. But what's a Cranston?
It's the gap for some women when they close their legs. There's kind of a gap up there, and that's the Cranston.
What?
You have to look it up.
And this is a commonly used term?
No.
By Fred.
Right. I mean, I don't think anything in Urban Dictionary is commonly used except
for a
few of them are.
There's plenty.
But most of them aren't mainstream.
No, but some of them are.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is used.
Okay.
The Cranston. I mean,
I've heard it used and I've read it used. Yes.
You've read it used?
Yes.
Where?
On one of those websites.
What websites? Porn?
What's that?
Porn?
No, not porn.
Fetish?
You know, one of those like TMZ type.
Fetish.
One of those TMZ type websites that gather, you know, it's like a blog website that gather funny things from the web and stuff like that.
Oh, NFL.com.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
I told, I was playing with Siri last night because there was a bunch of commercials.
Is that what you're calling it nowadays?
There's a new one with John Malkovich. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
And his is a little more, he articulates and he talks differently. I think they've adjusted it because of the criticism of the other two they have. But like you say joke and it'll tell you a joke. But I tried porn.
Right.
And it goes, the thing, and she goes, I'm sorry, I do not find any adult stores in your area. It is kind of funny to play with her sometimes. And then I changed her language to English Australian, and so she has like a little accent. I asked her if the dingo ate her baby.
And what'd she say?
I don't know. She didn't understand it. She usually doesn't understand what I say.
Don't torment her. She's just trying
to
help.
She gets attitude, you know.
Does she?
That's not what I'm here for. She told me on one of them.
Really?
Well, I started to use like dirty words, and she won't say dirty words. She'll say like, if you say the F word, she says like, ooh, with like two O's and an exclamation point. And
that's
she's kind of a stuck up.
And she's getting, she's getting smarter every day.
Well, she clearly searches. I mean, there's clearly it goes to the web or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And as more people use her, she gets smarter.
It is pretty cool. Like, I was trying the things they do on the commercial. Like, I want a linguica pizza. I have found 8 pizza places within 10 miles that have linguica on their menu or something like that. It is kind of cool. But you also get a lot of, I do not know what you're asking.
Right.
And then I could do without the attitude. If she's going to be a girl, she should be like a hot, pleasing girl.
Oh, my God.
Right?
It's a voice on a phone.
No, but that would
You're looking to get your rocks off with this now?
Maybe, if she talks dirty enough.
Oh, man. Travis from Goffstown, New Hampshire. I keep hearing how Wes
Jack
Welker, like Drew Brees, outplayed his contract. If I remember correctly, Welker was offered an offer sheet from the Patriots in 2007 and signed it. He didn't have to. He could have just played under the tendered
amount. Don't believe he ever did.
For 1 year and become an unrestricted free agent in 2008. He could have refused to sign a 5-year extension and insist on a 3-year one instead. He didn't. Drew Brees signed a 6-year deal. He didn't have to. I'm sorry if NFL contracts aren't guaranteed like baseball or basketball. They can be cut at any time. Seems unfair, but those are the rules under the past and current CBA that the players agree to. Maybe they should have fought harder for more guaranteed money. Maybe they caved in at the end. It sucks, but it is what it is. I don't want to hear how somebody outplayed their contract. They signed it for the amount of years they did, and they have to deal with it. If you don't like it, then go play in Canada. I don't feel sorry for you guys. I don't feel sorry for you guys do about Welker or feel that he got paid exactly what he agreed to. Sounds pretty fair to me.
Which is actually rare in the NFL because you usually get cut before you get what you agreed to.
So, I mean, that's a common theme among fans that, hey, this is the contract. And
the part that I would agree with the emailer on is they should have done a better job, not with guaranteed money, because whatever. They're not going to have fully guaranteed contracts in the NFL for a lot of reasons. But the other stuff that comes into play in terms of, you know, the franchise tag, for example, all the players seem universally anti-franchise tag. Well, why didn't they deem that something important enough to fight to get rid of in the last negotiations? I don't understand that. If they're all so upset about that mechanism that teams use to, you know, to throw the emailer back, the point back at the emailer, yeah, he signed that contract, that five-year deal, and he played it. So undervalued, overvalued, whatever the value was, he played it, and then in turn, to become an unrestricted free agent, then he becomes an unrestricted free agent, and it's the player's fault that the team was able to use the franchise tag on him. Not the team's fault for using it. It's the player's fault for not saying, that's something that's important to us enough to get rid of. They didn't do it, so the Patriots are doing, and a lot of other teams have done the same thing. It was like a record amount of franchise mm-hmm. tags this year. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the right. Patriots are the only team that does it. Everybody's doing
now,
it.
Now, on the other hand, the league has set a long-time precedent of, you know, signing guys to extensions before their contract's up. So you can understand why a player who has performed well would want that, because they've done it with other guys. Do it with me. So, you know,
Patriots don't do it.
Well, they just did it with Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, they have done it.
They said, no, the extensions.
Right.
They'll
right,
give
yeah.
you an extension.
Right, that's yeah. exactly.
They don't redo contracts.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
But tomato, tomato, whatever yeah. you want to call
well,
it.
Well, I'm not sure it's tomato,
Welker
tomato.
Welker didn't get a chance to do that.
Well, he did, except he tore his ACL.
Right.
When he could have done it. Yep. That's what I point to. I don't think that was the beginning of the problem here.
No, and to clarify the facts,
the guy was dead wrong. We traded for Wes Welker. He never signed. They didn't want it to get contentious with Miami, so they worked out a trade and then signed him to the five-year, $18.5 million deal.
Which was a good deal for him at
the
time.
He was overpaid at the time.
Right.
Right up until he was underpaid.
Right up until he played. And I would believe me, I was the king of the they overpaid for this guy.
I know you
can't
have covered every single base. No, I'm the last 6 years.
I'm not covering a base. I'm saying I was wrong.
He was overpaid. Then he was underpaid. Then you wanted $50 million. But now I'm not going to cut him off the franchise.
But I'm
tag.
Not covering a base. I'm telling you that I thought he was overpaid.
Right.
I was wrong.
No, I know you've covered every base along the way in the Welker story.
But I'm just telling you I was wrong. That's all.
I know. I know you were wrong. That's been proven fact.
He's saying you were right and wrong in every possible way.
But I wasn't right. I was wrong.
Oh, you're right now.
No, I think you were right at the time. You just ended up being wrong.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you very much. Finally, he took my side on something.
Stripper says
it only took me saying one of the most ridiculous things ever to get it to happen.
Oh, you've done that before, too.
No, I haven't. Nothing more ridiculous than the things you've said.
All right.
Remember when you said there was no chance George Godsey was going to be the tight ends coach? Who's our tight ends coach?
You're right. But you had information that you held back from me.
You always have information you hold back from me.
I never do.
Your little phone calls. I talk to somebody.
I never do.
I thought you were going to say you little.
Strippers writes in about a column by Bucky Brooks from NFL.com. He says three reasons why the Patriots shouldn't break the bank for Wes Welker. Number one is the age issue. Number two, it's the system, not the talent. And I won't get into the long form of that. And number three, there is a huge difference between a slot receiver and a true number one receiver. So, kind of all the things we've talked about.
Right.
You know. I think there's some truth to that.
I think they're all true. And I think that's part of why this is an interesting. The age is like pretty high on the list.
Again, I get back to what is Welker asking for? Is he asking for them to break the bank? I don't think $9 million a year is breaking the bank, depending on the length of the term.
You're absolutely right. You just don't know what he's.
It depends what it is.
You know, he may not be asking them to break the bank. Maybe.
Would you do 3 years, $27 million fully guaranteed?
No.
So that's $9 million a year.
But I wouldn't guarantee the third year. I'd give him the first 2 years.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We never know. We don't know. Even if we find out he's asking for $9 million a year, you just said no to a contract that's $9 million a year.
Right.
So we never know unless you know every detail of the. And that's where we get in trouble with these
exactly.
things. Because in the Mankins thing, it was a 5 year, $45 million, or it was a 6 year, $50 million.
Depending on who looked at
who had the
contract. Same deal.
So
two different ways of looking
know.
At it. Would you give that hypothetical?
Which one?
927?
No, I'm on record saying I'd give him 1 year, $9.5 million guaranteed.
that's all. And then you just would let him go?
Well, we'll see what happens. But I am willing to say that I could let him go. I may not. I may.
Nothing wrong with that.
Sign him to the tender and trade him. You know, we've talked about it's harder. You can't really trade him now because in the process, you're further along. You know, I don't know how many teams can acquire $10 million in their cap and all that.
He's more valuable to this team.
You might be able to
teams.
Do the Castle thing. If he has another good year and you really don't want him, you might be able to
franchise
sign him,
him again
tender.
And trade him in March.
Yeah, and get, you're not going to get a ton, but you get something for him, and he's happy he gets some money. You're happy you get a pick, and you move on.
Mark in Cheddar writes in, had my last university exam of the year today, and I'm starting my four-month summer holiday. I have a couple of points I would like to mention and have been brought up in the last few weeks. 2 weeks ago, Ken phoned and compared Paul Perillo and Rob Gronkowski's athletic prowess. That is such a ridiculous and unfair statement. Paul is a Hall of Famer. Gronk isn't. Gronk is riding Paul's coattails. And Welker's contract. I think the reason that Welker does not have a new long-term contract is all Welker's fault. If he... My throat. A little phlegmy. Excuse me.
Stop.
If he was his usual self during the first five games of the past season, the Patriots would have signed him to a long-term contract. Because he became a different player for 5 weeks before regressing to the best slot receiver in the game, his value went up, and the Patriots wisely said, not right now.
It's true. That's when Paul was going to hand him $50 million.
If Welker had...
I think it was more like 3 weeks, but yeah, no, you're right.
If Welker had just played like he normally does, 11 yards a catch at the start of the season, all would have been good. To sum up, the only person Welker has to blame is himself. And listener on listener crime, I'm very happy that Tim from Pensacola hasn't phoned recently. For my next target, can douchebag Brooklyn Matt stop getting in contact?
Wow.
One can dream.
Mark, bringing it.
Yep, Mark and Chet are really bringing it.
That was when he transitioned.
That's
he's
certainly
doing
when
more
I,
this year.
It is certainly what led me to make my $50 million comment that Andy loves to throw back in my face every 35 seconds.
Well, while the Patriots are going 6-10, you're paying a receiver $50 million.
Well, I don't know where the 6-10 goes.
Oh, I don't either because I never said it.
Yeah, but you did say it.
No, I
did. And I did say I would give him $50
exactly.
million.
Exactly. I never said it.
See, unlike you, I say when I'm wrong.
Eclipse, that's his
I'll
name.
I'll let you know when I'm wrong.
There you go.
Eclipse
exactly.
is from Niagara Falls, Canada.
The greater Niagara.
And he says, Eric, but I know he means me. He says, first of all, Fred is getting those bloody alpacas if he likes it or not. I did not tune into my favorite New England Patriots radio show only to hear an hour-long seminar on the many uses of alpaca fur for absolutely no good reason at all. He's going to buy the whole damn fleet of some kind of mammal. I don't care if it's camels or a freaking Congress of orangutans.
Congress?
Is that what a group of orangutans
Maybe.
Is called, a Congress? Is that
Possibly.
Like a murder of crows?
Maybe. Secondly and lastly, really? I feel as
murder
if we have
murder,
had a very good chance of repeating our success from 2007 this upcoming season. With the addition of Brandon Lloyd, our many solid free agent signings, the top-notch picks we acquired in the drafts, as well as last year's unhealthy players such as Rozai Dowling returning at full strength, plus our ace in the hole, Josh McDaniels, who achieved so much without even having the greatest tight end duo of all time in Gronk and Hernandez back in 07. Our upcoming schedule looks like a breeze. I also think that our D is going to be drastically improved. I need not mention the fact that we have the greatest quarterback to ever play the game and the greatest coach to ever call plays on a football field. I know that you asshats will disagree with me over something that I've said. My question is, what makes another perfect season so unrealistic? The fact that it just doesn't happen very often.
I think that I know it's not intentional, but I think that inadvertently some of these people that predict, they're almost diminishing the original accomplishment.
Yep.
Because they think it can just happen any year. And I listen, in terms of the personnel that he just rattled off, you can't really argue with a whole lot of it.
Well,
offensively, defensively, I think there's
but he
a
said,
lot of question marks.
You know, without having the two greatest tight ends, well, he had the greatest
receiver. He had the greatest wide receiver then
so
that you don't have
switched
now.
Flop. It's not like you added. You've changed the offense. You don't have Moss. Yes, you have better tight ends now. That doesn't guarantee the same sort of production.
Right.
You know, and it's also dangerous to sit there and say, well, you know, you have Gaffney, you had Gaffney then. Who knows what Gaffney is now?
Right.
You know, who knows what you're going to get out of that? Who knows what you're going to get out of Stallworth, if anything? Andy already has him cut. So I think offensively they have the potential to be very, very good the way they have been for the last several years. I mean, they were very, very good offensively last year. They weren't as dynamic as they were in 07, but, I mean, in terms of production, It was close.
They have the potential better on offense, I think, because running back has the potential to be more of an impact position. I don't know that it's going to be. It may actually be significantly worse, but I think there is the potential there. If Adai and Ridley are playing well, I think they offer more spark, more...
Yep. More of a dynamic element.
Something that the defense will think of. I don't think the defense really cared about Benny. I don't want to be disrespectful.
I think they can be very, very good offensively. I think that they can be better defensively, but
can't be much worse.
I think that there are a lot of question marks defensively. I don't think there are a lot of question marks offensively. Defensively, I think there are a lot of question marks. We have to see how it all unfolds.
You could cheat with Benny on the field, and he might get 10 yards, but he ain't going to break it.
Right.
You know?
Ridley had a really bad drop today, catching the ball out of the backfield.
But just to illustrate that point, and I know that stats sometimes lie and you can make whatever, but just in doing some of the roster stuff, we've been putting some roster breakdowns on the website the last week and a half or so. And when I did running backs, just kind of stood out to me, and I'm sure you already wrote this, Andy, but 5 runs we had last year of 20 yards or more, they were all by Ridley.
Wow. Yep.
He only had 87 carries for the season. 5 runs of 20 yards or more, they were all by Stephen Ridley. So that tells you that, as Fred just pointed out, when Benny, quote-unquote, broke one, it was for 12 yards.
Right.
He wasn't a threat to make a big play.
He wasn't good last year.
He wasn't anywhere near as good as he was two years ago.
The production wasn't good.
Yeah. Johnny in L.A. is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Johnny, your name was used in vain on Tuesday.
Sorry.
It's all right. That's what led me to call.
So is your bed in your living room or your bedroom?
Everything's back to normal now. You know, that was for the AFC Championship when my buddy came over and I turned my bedroom into the living room because, you know, the Pats have never lost a game on the TV in my room.
Yes.
And that kind of that leads you to the question of why didn't I watch the Super Bowl in there? I guess... Too little for that.
Live and learn. You'll have another chance this year in New Orleans.
It's funny, you know, after they lost that game to the Giants, I kind of shut down all things Patriots and all things football for a few months. And then I've been catching up on the podcast since then. And one of the first things Andy said after the days following the Super Bowl was, Andy, you said, I get the sense that this isn't one of those games that's going to have people hiding from the Patriots and ignoring their, you know, TVs and whatnot for a few. People seem to be getting over this pretty quickly.
Yep.
And that obviously was not the case with myself. But
well, you're a little more psychotic than the rest.
That cannot be argued. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
We just had lunch, so we're great.
Love it.
And we got a chance to be outside today.
We got some sun. We watched some football on a football field.
Yeah. And it's an absolutely perfect day for that today here in Foxborough.
Unless you're Vince Wilfork sweating like a pig.
Well, I essentially have nothing to say.
Okay.
So I just wanted to call and say hi to you guys. I'm listening. I'm catching up. And I'll stay in touch. Go Pat.
All right. Johnny and
thanks, Johnny.
Just chiming in. Just, you know, we have people that just want to say hello.
And I'm okay with it.
That's okay.
Eric has nothing to say when he's on this show, and we let him come back.
That's right. Let's hear from Dan and Harriet. Hey, Dan.
Afternoon, boys.
That's and Harriet.
Harriet.
Okay, it's very important you not say
technically, it's just me today, actually.
Oh, where's Harriet?
She is actually at the vet's having surgery.
Oh, what's wrong?
She's having a molar removed, because I guess with dogs, you know, sometimes you got to get that done at least once in their lives. And she's having some sort of mass removed from her left front leg or whatever. But I just heard back from the doctor, and it's looking good. Actually, it was a success, and she's in recovery. So
excellent.
Good.
Looking forward to bringing her to training camp again.
Good. Great.
So first of all, I just want to say, Fred, don't let up on the alpacas. It wouldn't be PFW without the occasional alpaca.
No, I haven't. And just not this year, but, you know, eventually I will have them.
It's kind of like the pass rush. You know, he knows he wants it and needs it, but he's got to pick the right time to go get it.
Right.
In fact, you might want to consider, you know, redoing that intro like you had before, you know, or subjects like alpacas or something like that.
Right.
But I heard you guys talking about the Siri, and I use the Siri. You know, it's pretty helpful for me, you know, with the disability and stuff. However, it can be a little snarky sometimes. I actually, this is absolutely serious. I asked her what the temperature was once, and she said, oh, it doesn't matter what temperature it was. It's always room temperature. And I just want to go, screw you. I asked you a question.
Wow. Screw you, bitch. You work for me.
Wow, that was kind of a snarky answer.
No, she has attitude. She's a bitch. There's no doubt in my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
But definitely a very useful resource. But on the franchise tag situation, I'm just going to chime in on this, and then I'll let you guys talk about it. With Welker, I think everything that can be said has been said, so I wanted to get your take on maybe the rest of the league and what franchise you think maybe is in the most urgent situation to sign their franchise player, because I would suggest Chicago with Matt Forte. I mean, if his body of work wasn't evident, I mean, this year by itself, you know, he goes down with the injury and their season kind of went the way of my fantasy team.
Yeah, but they've also...
I'll catch you guys later.
Okay, hey, thanks. Thanks, Dan. But
thanks, Dan.
The thing about the Bears is, though, they've made moves to prevent that from happening again.
Plus, he's a running back.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Drew Brees. I mean,
if Cutler didn't get hurt last year...
Right.
If the Saints don't have Drew Brees, New Orleans has nothing. Yeah. They don't even have a newspaper anymore. They're going down the pisser.
Right. Andy's got the right answer for the most urgent franchise player. But Chicago, Matt Forte had a terrific season for them last year. He did a lot of things, and that injury hurt them a lot. I'm not diminishing his loss, but if Cutler doesn't get hurt, they still make the playoffs. They find a way to win some of those games down the stretch. When he went out, I don't think they won another game. Right? Down the stretch, I think
I don't know. Boobs came on the TV behind.
He hurt his thumb, I think, in the that San Diego game, and that was it. I don't think they won another game.
Yeah,
and you're right, Fred. They have made arrangements that if Forte doesn't play or if he holds out and doesn't come back or whatever,
Bush,
they'll be fine.
Michelle Stockholm writes in our reality TV producer. She says, "Hey guys, hope you all well. Even though Eric isn't there, Tuesday's fan/guest." The actor Paul said, and I quote, "I can't stand reality. I hope he knows that reality is what's ultimately paying his salary as an actor. In short, the money that reality makes for, let's say, NBC is what goes into making the big drama comedy shows. It's dumb to bite the hand that feeds you." And I heard you discussing the value of Wes. Would it be right to say that his value depends on what team he'd go to? I'm thinking if he goes to a team where he has a chance of being more productive, would the trade value go up? For example, if they trade him to the Broncos and Peyton is still Peyton versus trading him to the Jaguars. I think depending on every team has a different value for every player, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's true, but I'm not necessarily sure that the logic there is accurate. I mean, wouldn't Jacksonville
need
potentially be more needed?
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean,
they might be willing to pay more.
The particular of what you said may not hold true, but I think that each team is going to look at him a little differently.
And it changes.
That's
you know,
the bottom line.
If somebody gets hurt in camp, somebody loses their top receiver, and a team that loses their top receiver that thinks this is their year, you know, Houston, if they lose one of their top, you know, Andre Johnson goes down, and they're like, this is our year to win the Super Bowl. We need to add a pass catcher.
We need to get somebody we know can catch passes.
Something like that.
She says also the concussion discussions are always interesting as well. Too bad the brain isn't anything like the elbow, shoulder, or knee. And signing off and heading back to reality.
She is right, though. I heard this morning they came out with the top 10 episodic TV programs of the year or whatever. And one is Sunday Night Football. But all the rest, NCIS and one other thing, are the only non-reality shows that are in the top 10.
Oh, but does that then mean that... I just think it's the overabundance of reality shows now. Everything on is not a reality show now. And I think the reason...
No, there's plenty of shows on. Nobody watches them.
I think the reason they do it is because it's so cheap.
Oh, but that's her point. They're cheap.
But
they make a lot of money.
They make a lot
NBC
of money.
NBC then has the money to include... Because the other shows, they're spending a ton and no one watches them.
I also look at... And I'm not getting into Paulie's thing with the... I don't know. I'm not... Obviously... I'm not in the industry, so I don't know where Paulie's coming from.
We're kind of in the industry. We have a TV show.
But to me, there's a difference between the reality. Like, I'm guessing, like, American Idol and The Voice and stuff like that are among some of those.
Yeah, Idol, Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars. See, to me, there's a difference between reality shows like that and the real, you know, the dreck that's out there that's just unwatchable.
Well, that's on all those crap channels.
But there's not just on crap channels. There's some bad stuff on regular channels. Survivor, for one.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, but it's hugely popular.
It's on CBS.
It's not hugely popular anymore. It's
anymore?
Kind of popular.
I was listening to Stern the other day, and he had Warren Littlefield, who used to run NBC back in the must-see TV days, the heyday of NBC. At one time, when Seinfeld called it quits. They offered him $5 million a show to stay, and he turned it down. He walked away. Can you imagine that? $5 million a show. Plus, he has all the syndication rights. So that's incredible. That's big money.
you know, Big Brother is another one. Just
that's still on.
Awful.
Yeah. I didn't even know that was still on.
Yeah, I'm sure it does well. I'm sure these shows all do well. That's why I bet you Survivor does reasonably well still, but it's unwatchable. It's ridiculously bad.
I don't watch it.
You're right. I don't watch it anymore either. So I can't even remember the last time I
watched
it.
Is if I flick through and there's big boobs. Stop. Well, I'm being serious.
Big Brother.
I know you are.
Big Brother is good for that. There's always.
Oh, that's what I told always Siri. Two or three for I that. Said I like. Large breasts, and she goes, I've heard that somewhere.
Jackson.
Either that or she, you know, went through the search engine and it came up PFW in progress.
Andy Hart.
No, she couldn't find us. I actually tried that. I said PFW in progress, and she
I don't understand.
Faint. Yeah.
She, really?
That, every single thing I asked,
well,
I don't understand.
Teach her what it is.
Oh, I'll teach her.
Oh, my God. This is kind of getting weird.
You just said to him,
yeah,
teach her,
right.
And he found that dirty.
No, right. I made it dirty.
I know you did. We were wondering earlier who Bobby Carpenter's brother-in-law is, and we thought it might be Brady Quinn.
It's not.
A.J. Hawk is Brady
Hawk.
Quinn's
that was
brother-in-law.
It. I knew there was an Ohio linebacker.
Right.
Ohio State.
Well, you know what's funny? I almost said to you, I think it's Laurinaitis. So we all would have been wrong.
Mark says he's listening live on his iPhone app, and the feed keeps rewinding like 30 seconds every couple of minutes. What gives?
The problem is the technology and our people that run the technology don't keep up with
our talent.
Maybe
Chris Ferrer is listening and he can verify that.
No, it's not his fault. It never is. And it's never this guy's fault either.
He's the guy. It's never his fault.
Well,
it's not Ferrer's either. That's just the way it is always the answer.
Well, sometimes,
we can't do that. That's just the way it is.
Sometimes it can be the carrier that you're on or the local area where it's buffering and it keeps replaying. It may not have anything to do with the file.
Press
that was
F5.
In there.
Oh, wait. You don't have an F5 on your iPhone? Throw it against the wall.
We were talking about NFL.com. Brian in Essex says,
an angry little man.
I think it's unnecessary and simply the NFL attempting to attract the widest audience possible. Talk about using all the kind of gossipy type stuff. I suppose I can understand the desire for more money. Who doesn't? But players' personal lives that have absolutely nothing to do with their work on the field is just a waste of space. You can't tell me during preseason OTAs, the Saints, the collusion suit against the NFL, that they don't have more important things to report on.
Well, yeah, they want to write more about that.
No, but they are reporting on all of those.
No, I think the Saints stuff should be on
NFL.com. Yeah, I mean, all of that stuff is on there.
That affects the league. That affects the team, you know, specifically the Saints, but the league in general.
I just think you've reached the point where NFL players, the popularity of the league, they're entertainers. They're stars. Just like movie stars. Do you only want to see their movies, or do you care that they were at some restaurant with some girl making out? That's just the way it is when you're a popular celebrity. Yeah. And NFL players are celebrities now.
Andre in Panama City. Hey, guys, I was wondering how exactly does a fourth, fifth, sixth wide receiver, how can he win a higher roster spot given the fact that they get to practice, I think, with the backups or not even getting reps? I ask this because I have Ocho's authentic jersey, and I don't want to have a jersey of a player that has been cut.
You do.
Also, because Roberto Wallace, even though he's a Dolphin, is the only Panamanian player in the league, and I would like to see him in more games.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good now.
Just throw up on yourself.
How do you?
You're telling me that button is too tight, that you couldn't tighten that button.
This one right here?
Yeah. That restricts you.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't. It's a good 2 inches from touching your neck.
You look much better right
now.
You look much better right now.
Yeah, you
don't
look ridiculous.
Well, maybe if you didn't have jowls that hang down.
Oh, you like that, Kevin?
could hear it through the glass.
It takes a special talent as a fat guy to make fun of another fat guy for being fat.
Well, somebody said I look like I lost weight today.
It was a setup.
Was it?
Oh, just so you know, Andy will vouch for me. I was asked that recently as well, to which I said, F no.
So our visitor on Tuesday comes in, shakes my hand in the lobby, and goes, "You don't look as fat in person."
Yes, I didn't realize that we used to make fun of him being fat.
I don't think we do. Balding, stupid, useless.
Yeah.
Monkey, a congress of gorillas or orangutans.
Let's go back to the phone.
Wait, we never answered his question, did we?
What?
He wanted to know how Ocho was going to work his way up the depth chart or something?
Well, any fourth, fifth, sixth receiver, how do they get the
by catching
reps?
The ball and running, regardless of where you are, they see you doing what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And you will move up, you will get reps, and you'll get a job. Unfortunately, every time they see him, somebody else is having to tell him where to line up, or they're yelling at him to take a lap for jumping off sides like he did today. He is done. Flat out done. Did you see the thing with his wallet, by the way?
Yeah,
he got his wallet stolen, but they found it.
Yeah, but they stole his gold card to Starbucks.
Starbucks gold card? Yeah. That's too bad. He seems to have bad luck that way.
What way?
He gets, like, you know, he asks for directions and people yell at him. And
for all you know, it was a scam set up through Starbucks as a publicity.
Well, you know what? You're right. It could be.
I don't really feel bad for Ocho. He's had a pretty good freaking life.
Yeah.
He had a show where, like, 35 women were looking to, like, pleasure him in any way they could, and he would pick them. I mean, he's made millions. He plays football for a living. He makes money for tweeting. What is there bad about his life again?
Yeah, they were joking out at the at practice. The people in the media were saying that when he gets married, you know, you can rest assured there'll be Starbucks cards for the favors or whatever for all the guests.
Yeah. Is she not hot?
Oh, I don't think she's good looking.
I thought she was too.
She's kind of
manly.
No,
somebody
not
referred
manly,
to her as a tranny.
She always looks stern,
skanky.
Maybe because of the setting that I've seen
skanky.
Her at, but she always seems to be mad at something. You know,
but you'd like her. She has the only thing you
I've
care
seen
about.
Her, and I remember liking her. And now I want to know: was I attracted to a tranny?
No. Let's go to the phones. Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Where the hell you been?
Haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, well, I'm just counting down the days until the next pregame social, that first preseason game against the Saints. I think it's about 77 days away.
He's literally counting
about,
down the days.
About.
And I know some of the other regular callers have been chiming in. Today was a good occasion. My sources tell me that Kevin Collins is on his way to Vegas this weekend.
Is that right?
He's sitting right there.
No lacrosse for you, huh? Going to Vegas, where are you going to be staying, Kevin?
Jeff, you're hooking MGM. Kevin up?
You're staying at the MGM?
You're taking care of him?
Nice.
I am. We plan to hook up, maybe do a little bit of carousing, grab a light supper at one of the VIP high-limit gaming rooms, and then take it from there, maybe hit a few sports books.
High-limit gaming
Someone as connected as you, I would think would be, you know.
Kevin won't have to pay for anything.
Rolling out the red carpet for him. You should be meeting right at the airport.
Well, yeah, I practically am, and yeah, in a lot of these high-limit gaming salons, you can sort of, you know, roam in there and just have a...
Now, you have some complimentary chips for him to play these games, right?
Yeah, well, he indicated he has a pocket full of money. He's got thousands in his pockets.
Whoa. What's going on here, Collins?
Kevin has nothing.
Why high-limit
He tells
gaming?
Us that all the time.
25 buck minimum is not good enough for you?
No, I'll probably just bet sports and bet the fights.
Well, that's no fun either.
No? What should I play, Freddie?
You place a bet and then you sit and wait?
Should I play some blackjack?
Oh, I like roulette myself.
Roulette? Yeah. You can play some roulette.
I like roulette myself.
Play some poker while I'm out there, too.
Sure. You and Pete Shepard? You going to take Pete with you?
Pete's going?
Pete's not coming.
You don't want to go to Vegas with Pete.
No.
I'll end up in rehab.
I might get beat up, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely some poker. There's some great new poker rooms out here. And we all know, like, Eric's trip is going to be a dud and a bust. Kevin will probably have more fun in a Vegas weekend for a few hours than Eric will in his entire 2 weeks in Paris.
Oh, I guarantee you.
Is he going for 2 weeks in Paris?
No.
It seems like it. It's 2 weeks.
I think it's 10 days total when you count the weekends. But I guarantee you when Eric comes back, you know, we'll want to talk about his trip, and it'll be like pulling teeth.
He'll be evasive and vague.
No question.
Because nothing happened.
Are we going to
The listeners will be asking him questions. They'll be emailing in, and they'll very good questions about what happened. And he won't get into any of it.
Right.
He won't get into any of the details.
At least he'll have Eric's Wild Vegas or Kevin's Wild Vegas weekend to fall back on if Eric can't produce anything interesting.
Are you going
to
guarantee that Kevin's going to get laid this weekend?
I won't guarantee that. In fact, I think he may have a significant other, but...
So what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going with him.
No, but here's what will happen with Kevin. Unlike Eric, where it's like pulling teeth, Kevin will offer information, but none of it will make sense. So you'll end up having to like piece it together. Well, wait a minute. You said that you went there at 2, but then you won money at 1 o'clock.
And somehow the casino was on the verge of shutting down.
Right.
And Kevin saved it somehow by putting something back online.
Right. It'll be the story.
Plugging
that
in a wire.
We'll figure out what does he mean? You know, right? Oh, he's laughing. All right, Jeff. You got anything
else? Take care of my boy, Jeff.
Yeah, I will. Last thing, super, super quick. I just think they've been showing that David Patton Super Bowl 36 catch on NFL Network, you know, when he sort of goes back shoulder diving in the end zone.
Yes.
How would, maybe Paul would remember, how would you compare the difficulty to that play to the one Welker didn't make in the Super Bowl? Or would they be comparable? That sort of reminds me of it.
You know, that's a good question. I think that Patton's catch was much easier.
Me too.
It was an easier catch. I would agree. Also from a different angle, which I think made Patton's play easier.
But he had the,
because
he's breaking it off on the back of the
end
zone.
Exactly.
Welker's trying
across.
To run down the field, and Brady doesn't.
And by
hit
the
him.
Way, yeah. that same catch in the Super Bowl was made in the right. AFC Championship game.
Much easier catch in the AFC Championship game than the one in the Super Bowl.
It was a better pass.
No question about it.
I knew that was coming.
Thank you very much, Fred.
Right. All right, Jeff. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Okay.
No, but I agree with you guys.
You can keep Collins, by the way.
I think the fact that Welker was sort of running away from Brady makes it a different angle. It makes it more difficult adjustment. And
Patton is expecting
Patton is coming across,
what he gets to some degree. Welker is not. Welker's expecting to catch it on the run, not have to contort.
But it was not a routine catch in the Super Bowl. And in all seriousness, the Super Bowl catch was more difficult than the AFC Championship.
Yeah, it was.
But they were very eerily similar plays.
It was the same play. Yeah. Let's see. Chris with a TIN has a little over-under. Let's see. Number of sacks from Hightower, 4.5.
Under.
Under.
Number of sacks from Jones, 6.5.
Under.
Under.
Number of sacks from Fanini, 3.5.
Over.
I'm going to say over.
Over. Okay. I'd say under for that one. Number of catches by Welker, 85.
Over.
Number of catches.
You say under for that?
For Welker?
You seem surprised with that answer.
I think this year he might be just around there.
Really?
Yep.
40 catches less.
He's got a more devious side to him than you and I combined.
Yep.
What?
We're going to keep it that way.
No, but the offense will be just as productive because it'll go other places. Number of TD catches by Gronk, 7.5.
Over.
What did you say?
No, I'm sorry. They're showing Rodney Harrison's dirty hits from his days as the Chargers. If that were today, he would have been kicked out of the league immediately. You forget how dirty a player he was.
He's right. Isn't he the record holder for fine money?
Yeah, but today he'd be the record holder for days kicked out of the league. I mean,
but can you
he's
imagine,
killing people.
Can you imagine the amount of fines he would rack up today with the numbers that they have? I mean, he wasn't getting fined as much money for those hits.
As
the same hit would get you fined today.
I think he'd only be fined once. I legitimately think he'd be kicked out of the league pretty quickly.
Number of interceptions by Gregory, 2.
Over.
Sure, over.
Okay.
Fred thinks they're going to suck at everything because every over I've taken. Oh, really? Over.
Nice job abusing Siri, Fathead. Years of research and development so you can get your rocks off. Unreal.
No, I didn't get my rocks off.
Did you know that Apple stores your questions and converts them into text? That's right. See below. Hi, Fred. Hi, Paul. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Eric's virginity. That's all intact.
What do they do? What did he say?
There's a report from CNN. The name of the report is Siri, are you storing my questions? And the answer is yes, I guess. So?
I didn't tell her, like, my Social Security number or something.
They're upset at me then because I never ask Siri any questions.
You should see the stuff my kid says to me.
I don't have Siri. You guys have newer phones than I do.
Okay.
You have Siri us
you don't
for
have,
free.
You don't have it because you don't want it then, because you have every other bell and whistle you have.
A laptop that works, unlike us.
Kamani says...
I just got a new mouse.
Big Brother is horrible. Fred is really showing his age now. I didn't say that Paul did. I've never watched the show.
It's beyond bad.
And it's the worst thing is they tease you by it airs on like Showtime.
Showtime.
Late night, and you think you're going to get something good, and you never get anything good.
Oh, I've never watched it, so I don't know. On Showtime.
I thought I'd see some.
I've seen the show live. It's always on in the summer. I think it's starting again in a couple of weeks. And, you know, generally there's nothing new on in the summer, so that's one of the few things.
You don't have to watch TV.
I do. I have a sickness, Fred. I do. I have a sickness. I have to watch TV.
Really? You're into that.
Although, you know what I really do want?
My wife.
You're into that. Like, it's weird.
We've got five.
The whole country watches
TV. We have, like, five TVs. I walk in the house. Every TV will be on with Law & Order. She's like hooked on the freaking Law & Order.
Is it like a different one on every channel?
Oh, yeah.
Law & Order is a great show.
SUV and one.
SVU. You know. But you brought up Warren Littlefield.
Yeah.
I'd like to get that book.
Yeah, he just
came out with a
book.
Supposedly it's a great, but that's why he's been on all these shows.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating.
Yeah. Should I just tell Beth to get it for me for Father's Day?
Yes.
Why don't you just tell me what you want for Father's Day?
I think you'd like it.
I think that's one of those books I would enjoy, you know, sitting by the deck and
just a lot of good stories.
What?
Digital.
Come on, guy.
Another story, you know, because I was watching this.
You don't find it harder to read that way?
I don't read. My wife does it all the time.
I don't read.
Tim Allen.
So you're with me.
You know, Tim Allen was on that show.
But it's no harder than
that. Home Improvement.
Home Improvement.
Great show.
And it
Santa
was
Claus.
One of the higher rated shows at one time.
Why I didn't watch Seinfeld because
so
it was on.
So he came out and
that is unbelievable.
He came out said in the trades that, you know, he was now the highest paid guy with a sitcom. And I guess the story is Seinfeld was literally going to call him up and say, I write, I produce, I help direct, and I star in my own show. Do you really think that you're the highest paid guy? And Warren Littlefield said, yeah, I don't think you want to do that. You know, just, but I.
So a little feud between Tim Allen and Seinfeld.
I heard some, you know, did you hear him on Stern? Is that what you?
Yeah, on Stern. Yeah.
He was telling some stories like about George Clooney.
Oh, yeah.
How Clooney demanded to read for the role in ER.
Well, he was on Sisters and all these shows that really didn't make it. And I guess he knew all the secretaries and all the people. So he got hit. He got the script for ER, the pilot script, and he studied that like a mother.
This is Clooney?
Clooney. And then went to the studio and sat there and said, I'm not leaving until you let me read. And they let him read. And then Littlefield gets the call. Hey, George Clooney just read for, you know, Dr. Ross. I guess that's the name.
Yeah.
And they said, really? He goes, yeah, he was pretty good, but he had studied that script for like 2 weeks.
Was he a nobody, or was he?
No,
he was not a nobody, but he wasn't anywhere near this. That vaulted him into stardom.
Yeah.
But he was actually on another show called ER that was on about 10 or so years earlier than that. I mean, he was on Facts of Life.
He was on Facts of Life. He did guest appearance on
Sisters.
Golden Girls. He was on Sisters.
Yeah, he had been around a little bit, but he hadn't really established himself.
But,
see, this is when you watch mindless TV, you know this nonsense. But that's why I think I would really like this book.
Yeah, it's all insider stuff like that. The best one, you know, Andy Dick?
Yes.
He was on that show, Network.
Network?
Not Network.
News Radio.
News Radio.
News Radio, which was a terrific show,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, not highest rated show, but it did okay. And he wanted a raise. So he goes into... you know, and Littlefield thinks it was his agent, you know, had just signed him and told him that you deserve more money. So Andy Dick goes into Littlefield's office and goes, you know, I want a raise. I'm not coming to work unless you give me a raise. And Littlefield looks at him and he says, hey, Andy, did you take a dump today? You know, he said the S word, but did you take a dump today? And, you know, Andy Dick goes, yeah. He goes, how was that? He goes, it was pretty good. He goes, I want you to remember that feeling. Because after I get through running lawyers up your ass, through your colon, and punching holes in your intestine, you're never going to have that feeling again. And he showed up for work the next day without the raise. So
another tie-in to those. Tim Allen's last name is really Dick.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't believe Andy Dick's last name is really Dick.
Probably not.
But it's interesting.
That guy's sick. Andy Dick?
Yeah, he's got issues.
I don't find him funny at all. I find him disturbing, psychotic.
He
was pretty good at News Radio, but that's not necessarily an indication of who he is.
Right.
You know, he reads his lines, you know, if it's a funny show.
Cody writes in, I have a game for you. I want you guys to list off one player as your breakthrough offense and defense, your comeback player on defense, and one under-the-radar player to make the team. That's Cody in Nova Scotia. So first... breakthrough player, offense and defense. Breakthrough.
Is it a cop out to say Ridley on offense?
That's mine. Yeah.
Sorry.
So yes. I'm going to go Spikes on defense, despite not being out there today. I'm going to say he's going to play and be the guy we saw for like five games for 16. Offense, I am going to say there isn't one.
No. What is it? Can you, even though McCourty had that great rookie season, can you say that he's my breakthrough player?
I think he's your comeback.
He'd be a comeback. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And the answer, Paul, before you ask it, is sucking. Coming back from what? Sucking.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I
don't think there is one
defense
on offense. Other than Ridley.
Maybe Finene.
Finene?
On defense. I think Spikes is a good choice by you.
Now, what was the next one?
Under the radar player to make the team. Under the radar to make
the team.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's really hard to do that.
So you're looking for an undrafted free agent or maybe a late round pick at this point? It's way
Forston.
Too early.
Marcus
well, I
Forston.
Think if you said Anthony Gonzalez is going to make the team, I think he's under the radar.
I don't think that's under the radar.
You don't think
he's
under the radar?
I also don't think he's going to make the team.
That's the spotlight position heading into camp that everybody's raving about all the first round picks.
Well, that's why, yeah, but there's so much.
He's not under the radar.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. He's not under the radar.
What was the last one?
That was it.
No, there was a comeback player.
All right, comeback player. I already said McCourty.
Are there any others? We were looking for a breakthrough player on defense. Nobody picked like a rookie. Jones, can you be a breakthrough rookie, or is it just being a rookie?
Yeah, didn't break through from anything yet.
Gregory could have a good year. I don't know which one he would fall under.
I was
but
thinking between Gregory and Finene from
Razai Dowling,
my guy.
Comeback.
Dowling could be one of those guys.
See,
I don't think he
would be breakthrough because he didn't come back from anything yet.
True.
No, I think Dowling would qualify.
Yeah.
I just don't think
he's
going to
get hurt. Like he has every year of his life.
And I know that sounds unfair, but I don't really have any faith.
How about Adai? What if Adai had
be a good comeback?
Yeah, comeback.
Adai's a good pick for the,
Adai could be.
Because he could be a big part of the offense
NFL
if he hits.
NFL comeback player of the year. If he all of a sudden has like 900 yards and 15 touchdowns.
Andy and I were talking about it too, like all this, the cliches that McDaniels likes the screen game a little bit more. I could see him being very productive with some of those screens.
Absolutely.
If he hits, like Andy said, if he's healthy and he fits into the offense and all that, he could be gone in September.
A lot of work on the screen game today out there. Some specific stuff with the receivers and timing with the tackles. Some of it, what we always joke
the
about,
Matt Light block,
which I legitimately think is an issue because now Nate Solder has to do it. And Matt Light was good at that, getting out into space, blocking the corner, and setting up some of those screen plays. You have to see that Solder, I know he's a good athlete, but you still got to see him actually do it on the field, but there was definitely screen-heavy portion of practice today.
Going back to Vollmer at the rib place, at one point he's standing at the takeout window, and the guy goes, is there anything that you don't have? And he goes, my order.
Where was this place?
It's called Commonwealth Barbecue. It's in Rentham.
Now, did you go up to him and say anything to him?
I leave him alone. I don't talk to these guys.
I'm very proud.
Although my wife said,
I'm proud of
they
you.
They were kind of looking at you like they knew you.
I'm sure. Wow,
you've even brainwashed your wife into thinking that there's like a conspiracy, like they knew you.
Right. Let's go to the phone. Sam is in Houston. Hey, Sam.
Governor.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. It's finally good to talk to you guys again. Let me just jump right into it. I got to circle back to the Wes Welker catch business. He didn't run under the ball. He should have just kept running.
No, I think he actually had a stop.
He had to stop and turn around and contort.
Yeah, the ball was thrown behind him.
It's a terrible throw.
Yeah, Sam, the ball was a little behind him.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a lot behind him, actually.
And I'm the first one to defend Brady on the pass. What? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off. What?
No, I thought when I looked at the replay, and, of course, like everybody that analyzed the catch or whatever, or should I say the non-catch, I thought whenever he was running, he turns around, he's stumbling back, and it's like he wasn't tall enough and he couldn't get off the ground to catch the football.
Well, the reason
part is true.
The reason he had to stumble and kind of turn back was because the ball was behind him.
If he continued to run, he would not have even gotten a hand on it.
Right. He pulled a Moss and just tried to make the quarterback look bad by continuing my route.
You know what Moss would have done? He would have continued to run and stuck one hand out. Now, he may have caught it.
Right.
Because he could do that, unlike anybody I've ever seen. But Welker, if he continued to run, would not even have gotten a hand on it.
Right.
Yeah, I thought if he would have ran his route, he could have, just because how he tried to turn around and jump whatever. I thought if he would have ran and looked over his shoulder, the ball would have dropped right over his shoulder.
No, I don't think so. No, it was, he was going left to right at the time. East-west. Yeah.
So I guess this excuses.
Wait a minute.
He was going straight.
Wait a minute. How did he say he's going left to right? And you go, oh, yeah. Like, what? That doesn't even make any sense.
No. I mean, left to right if you're, like, on the sideline.
On your radio dial?
I meant east-west rather than north-south.
No, he was going north-south.
No, but
the ball was going too much west.
He was going down the field.
I know, but he cut across at the last second.
No, he had to come across at the last second.
He tried to spin and contort himself.
Yes. Okay, we're going to have to see this again.
But he wasn't coming across.
He had cut his route and was coming across because he and Brady both saw the hole in the coverage.
Yeah, but Brady didn't throw it to the hole in the coverage.
But he was cutting to the hole.
No,
I don't think so.
No, he wasn't.
Was this a seam route, or am I just like
thinking
of a
I don't know
point?
What he saw.
It was, but I'm telling you.
I'm telling you,
you got
wrong.
Anything else, Sam?
Because, as a matter of fact, it was kind of funny today.
No,
there was at
was
least two.
Say, you guys keep doing what you do.
All right.
Thanks,
keep
Sam.
This argument going.
All right. Thank
I just
you,
can't
Sam.
Believe you go. He was going left to right, and Sam goes, yeah. What? That explains it for you? That made no sense.
All right.
It was funny today because there were actually a couple of examples of very similar plays from Brady to Welker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, down the seam, and not surprisingly, none of them were thrown back shoulder. He caught them in stride, all of them.
Right. I think that they both saw this opening, and Brady, you know how, like, sometimes you think too much, you know, and he kind of had, he didn't, that's
he
why
either
he was
thought
inaccurate.
Too much or made a bad throw, but it was one or the other.
I mean, I would go to the latter. I don't think he thought, oh, there's a hole over here. I'm going to try to guide it over here. I just think he made a bad throw. I think it was a physical mistake, not a mental one.
He does tend to choke at the biggest time.
Oh, yeah. Stop it.
Sure he does.
Now you're just bothering me.
Joe writes in, I always look forward to Tuesday and Thursdays. I have a question.
What do I?
Might be stupid, but I have to ask. What's the difference between choosing to kick and deferring? I know deferring is to wait till the half to choose, but what's the benefit? Is there anything you get by choosing to defer than choosing to kick? And if not, what's the point of saying defer instead of just saying kick? Other than you can choose at the half. I don't think there's any point to it.
Because you'll kick twice. You'll never receive.
If you choose to kick, you kick both halves. Because the other team's going to choose the ball in the second half.
Right.
So there's a major point to it.
Yeah.
The opposite of there isn't a point to it, there's a major point to it.
Right.
You don't want to give the other team the ball to start both halves.
Right. And, you know, the reason that Bill defers, and I would too, is, you know, you want that ball to start the second half. And that's worked out for them a couple times.
Well, they like that extra possession at the end of the first half and boom, boom.
Right. That's why they do it. Not to get the ball first to their half.
You want that end of the first half to lead into the second half.
You have an opportunity, and Bill explains this, to get two possessions in a row. Without causing
them,
a turnover.
Seems like it's always 10 points.
Now you run
a field
the
goal to end the half and then a touchdown to open
it. If you can
it.
Have the ball at the end of the first half and ideally score, then you get the ball to start the second half, ideally score. You have a chance to get two scores on the board without the other team getting the ball without having to cause a turnover to do that.
Now, of course, you run the risk of the other team getting on the board first, but I think if you go into the
especially
game
with this
thinking
defense.
That way, then, you know, you've already lost the game.
Yeah, so. I would defer every time.
He says, anyway, you guys are the greatest podcast, not just for sports, but all podcasts.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, and all haters of the Patriots and all New England sports can suck it.
Whoa.
Well, that's what he says. Everyone has a right to say what they want to say.
Yeah, but you don't have to read it.
Why not? If you don't like the Patriots, suck it.
Suck what?
It.
What's it?
Well, you know, those who love 300 would insist on knowing that.
Those who love sucking it have seen Brandon Spikes's and Brett Favre's and Mara
As much as I like Welker, says, this is Eric's tour guide, I definitely agree that his time for a long-term contract has come and gone. It was a crappy spot of luck, but his getting hurt was something no one could predict, and neither side was at fault. But as one of you mentioned, I don't think it's smart to pay a player in a cap league for his performance and not for how he perform in the future. It's entirely likely Welker's production will go down with the Patriots' offensive additions this year. Additionally, I think the Patriots are looking towards the future more than Welker is also. They've got at least two players, Gronk and Hernandez, and probably more that they need to be concerned with when signing big contracts now. And I think it's pretty safe to assume that Welker won't be around as long as Gronk or Hernandez. I'd hate to see him go, I really would, but if another team offers him a massive contract, I'd be okay with it.
He does deserve it, but the Patriots just don't pay you based on what you've done in the past. Definitely wish him well. Either way, he's been a great Patriot.
I think he's very much it right with the – I talked to Paul about this, the Hernandez thing. I think both in terms of money and just role. Hernandez is a slot receiver. I think in a couple of years they're happy with Gronk, Hernandez, and somebody else, Lloyd or somebody on the outside developing. I think it's a double-edged sword or a double dip that, yes, they need the money. If they want to pay Hernandez and Gronkowski, you can't pay all these receivers huge contracts. But I also think that they believe there's kind of an overlapping between Welker and Hernandez, and one guy is young and going up, and you certainly don't want to make a mistake on the guy who's not. So the only thing I wonder is, are these fans going to say the same thing? He's not getting a huge contract, so forget that. But if he just leaves after this year and gets 3 years, $27 million, are you going to say, I'm okay with that? Or are you going to say, that's not that much money? You tell me we couldn't have brought him back?
There'll be a percentage of fans who will say that, no doubt.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be the latter, because look at the guys that signed modest contracts to leave. I mean, like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. It's a modest deal.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, there's no way I would have given him that. So virtually whatever Welker signs for, people are going to have that reaction.
What?
I wouldn't have done it either. I would have let him go. And the part of that that I don't necessarily agree with, and the Welker thing has been done to death, but the whole, you know, you pay him for his production moving forward. Well, I don't care how many catches. I've been very consistent on this one. You know, my $50 million that you like to make fun of me about.
It was all about yards
per
catch.
I don't care how many catches he has. You'll be able to know if he caught 80 balls or 120 balls if he's still the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it went to 80 because there's other guys.
Right.
If it goes to 80 because, as you have pointed out, Freddie, they have different options, he's still that guy. He's still worth the same amount.
Right.
So whatever you deem him to be worth, he's still playing at a level that you want him to play at. He's doing exactly what you want him to do.
But do you need him to do it?
No, we'll find out. We'll see if what Bill thinks in terms of he's allowing me to get those other guys the ball because he's occupying defenses or he's doing, you know, maybe it might be ironic that it comes to the whole thing that he started off and everybody thought it was all about Moss and the attention that he grabbed. Well, maybe it might come full circle and now Gaffney is catching more balls because Wes Welker is in the slot demanding, you know, extra attention. Who knows?
Right.
It's something you need to see, but I just think it's so easy to say his production's going to go down, so we don't want to pay him. His production's going to go down, but it might not be because he's not as good a player as he was last year.
Right.
Just like it might Gronkowski. Just be circumstantial.
Gronkowski's production is probably going to go down. It's like Moss's went down the next year.
You know, there's a great example. If Gronkowski only catches, 70 balls this year and what did he have last year for catches?
90.
All right, if he only catches 70 balls and only gets 10 touchdowns, is he not as worth as much as you would right now?
Right.
If he was an unrestricted free agent right now, obviously he'd break the bank.
You know it when you see it.
Exactly.
If he's, you know, not getting open, that type of thing. But if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing and just, you know, the play just goes another direction, that's not his fault.
Well, and plus, can he still physically do it?
Right.
Did his production go from 120 to 80 because he's 31 and he's slowing down? Then you say, I don't want to pay him for what he's done.
Look at Teddy Bruschi. I mean, Teddy Bruschi would be the first one.
Fred was just literally looking at Teddy Bruschi.
Well, no, you just reminded me. Teddy Bruschi would be the first one to admit he lost a step toward the end. You know, he just wasn't as fast. And he had the same desire, the same heart, same knowledge of the system, same ferocity, but he just couldn't do what he did before.
And you'll know, and certainly the Patriots will know, or they'll have an evaluation as to whether or not Wes Welker is not the same guy.
Right.
And it's because he's 31 now, as opposed to it's because we have Brandon Lloyd and Jabbar Gaffney and these two great young tight ends and maybe a better running game.
Right. Right.
They'll be able to know if it's because of one or the other.
Sure. They're not dummies. James Pettigrew is worried because Kevin's going to L.A. and Kevin has James's credit card information.
He should be then.
Yeah, he should be worried about that, that's for sure.
Although he's been stealing from you for years and you haven't noticed yet, so.
Adam in Alexandria, Virginia, I know it was hard without jerseys, but did you guys notice if Dowling was out there fully participating?
Yes.
And how did he look in the 7-on-7s?
Tall.
Tall.
I couldn't tell you how he looked. He was definitely out there taking part in the festivities.
Josh Barrett was out there, and he had some pretty funky long spandex on that looked like they may have even had some, like, medical reasoning to them. Those ones with, like, cross fibers or whatever they call them.
cross fibers?
Yeah, like there's like extra stuff in them that I think are supposed to do something.
Oh, okay. Brooklyn Matt says, hey, Mark from Cheddar. just to let you know, it's sociologically impossible for some chump living in a place called Freaking Cheddar to pull listener on listener crime on anyone, let alone on somebody in Brooklyn. Put some personality into
life.
Your web radio name so you won't come off as some yokel. For instance, what's a more recognizable and memorable internet handle, Bad Kevin or Mark from Cheddar? Bad Kevin is. So there you go, Cheese Whiz. There's your lesson in image from someone who has a firm grasp of social identity.
Of fictional images, who he's created his and honed it over months and years on this program. At least Mark from Cheddar is a real human being who we've met.
And there's Angry Andy.
You, Brooklyn Matt, are a stalker, wannabe, everything you make up. Everything. You're not a music executive. You don't date models. You just want to get with Eric. That's all you want to do. You stalked him at Ground Zero. And that is sick, my friend.
Tyler in Georgia wants to make sure that we got the illustration that he did of
the alpacas
yes. in the used hot tub.
Now, is he the same one who has the funny ones of you?
Did you post those on Facebook, Kevin? No. What do you do?
Are you in Vegas now?
Yeah, his mind's in Vegas.
He doesn't have a mind.
Well, you should post that photo, that illustration on Facebook, Kevin. That's what.
What about the one of Paul?
That's what it's for.
Where he's, it's just a big fat blob with a number 11 jersey yelling, Mickey Loomis. It's very funny.
Well, all that stuff, all that user-generated content should go on the Facebook page. That's what it's for.
It definitely should. Useless.
Teats
on a bull.
Josh in Waterloo. Hey, men of PFW, since Eric isn't there.
said straight news earlier, and Eric usually writes the news stories on our website. Are those straight news?
No. I talked last week about looking in the market for maybe a used hot tub.
Spunk-filled hot tub.
Josh says, Fred, don't listen to the pool guy from Florida. The reason nobody uses them down here is because it's already hot. I'm not sure many people living in 90-degree weather think to themselves, do you know what would really refresh me after being hot all day? Jumping into 100-degree water. I live in a climate that is a bit more to the extremes than your area, and I can tell you that in the winter, when it is cold, it is the best time for hot tubbing. I use ours less in the summer, not in the winter. Matter of fact, it can be below zero, and after sitting in the spa for a half hour, I'll stand in the snow for a couple minutes, and I hate the cold. Some of the best times in a hot tub is when there's a gentle snow coming down. We love ours, so suck it up and get your wife a great anniversary present, you rich bastard. And yes, Andy, it does float. But what is that?
It does float.
But that's what chemicals and filters are for. Think the filters are as good as a pair of tube socks.
Fred's hot tub is extra white foamy.
I've heard a lot of people talk about that, using them in the winter, in the dead of winter.
Is that healthy?
I've never done
it. Where is it? In Aspen, they have those hot springs where, I mean, it's like, you know, minus 10 and they're in the
But is it
springs.
Healthy?
Why not?
Does it go hot and cold like that?
You don't get cold from being, it's,
but what's
you
on
get
health,
cold
I mean?
From being ger- getting
I don't know.
Germs.
It just seems like it'd be bad for your heart or something to go like 108 degrees, 30 degrees, 108 degrees, 10 degrees.
Maybe my heart.
Luckily, you get a lot of, exercise. Insulation is what I was going with between the hair and the fat.
So, Freddie, my brother.
Between the hair and the fat.
My brother fell off a ladder yesterday.
Really?
Broke his arm.
Wow.
Yeah, about 8-foot drop.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. I don't know. He's having his issues.
How do you fall off an 8-foot ladder?
Was this ladder or just a leaning ladder?
I'm assuming a leaning ladder.
But can't
you
grab on and kind of like brace your fall?
He sounds like that's what led to the broken arm.
Yeah.
I put up a ceiling fan last night.
He felt like it was sort of not in the right place and it was kind of. You know, getting ready to go.
Yeah.
And he reached out. I guess he grabbed, like, the joist. They were putting up a deck. And he grabbed the ladder with one hand, and then he ended up basically falling, like, parallel to the ground, face first.
Wow.
So he's lucky he didn't, like, go backwards or something and land on his head or neck.
Right, right.
He broke a bone in his arm. He might have to have surgery.
Jeez. Wow.
He'll be out for about 6 weeks.
Great. Yeah. From what, I don't know, but he'll be out.
Well, he won't be able to work.
Yeah. Is that what he's doing now, putting decks up?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it was his own deck that he's putting up.
He's the guy who knows about a good T-bone.
take the butcher's word for it.
Robin Marble says, your guest from L.A. on Tuesday was great. We need more of those. We need more Pepe and less Kevin.
Yes. Preach it, brah. And more Ray Ray.
Fred, can
just
you,
in general.
Can you
yes.
Can you expand on your manscaping routine?
Oh, it'll expand if Ray Ray's here.
I've been curious.
You are unbelievable.
I've been curious if anyone else besides porn stars does any trimming of the shrubs. Maybe the
yes.
female listeners can call in and express an opinion in reasoning. I do it maybe twice a year.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
I told Maura you did this. Were you uncomfortable with that?
No.
Okay.
I think I have told her, too.
But
is that why it was in your file?
When did you first do it and why?
I might have heard an ad for the man groomer.
Wait, you use the same thing on your nuts as your back?
Yeah.
Doesn't it,
I don't actually use it on the genitalia. It's just around it.
Just on the...
inner thigh?
Yeah, you know.
Well, the upper.
Above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that's called. I bet we're going to get a couple emails, though, what that's called.
I have one word, but I'm not using it on the air.
Why? What is it?
And it's more for women.
Muffin top?
No.
Oh.
That would be the polite way of saying it.
Landing strip?
No, I'm not saying.
No, a landing strip is once it's been
right,
manicured,
right.
And
groomed,
pointing to the right area.
Anyway,
the
Veet cream that has all the reviews. This is the hair removal thing that seems to be
hair and other
dropping
things,
people like snowflakes.
This might be a good time for my party.
Here's a review. This one is from G. Leasley. He says, after ignoring all the reviews about this item, I purchased this to do a bit of hedge trimming in my downstairs areas. Taking great care to clean and rinse all areas before use, I liberally creamed my tackle with a double helping of Veet, as it was a time where the bushes were remarkably thick and in desperate need of some attention. However, seeing as I was covered and still had a hand desperate need of some... Oh. However, seeing as I was covered and still had a handful, I proceeded to cover the back passage also.
Whoa. What?
Can you imagine my surprise when I found out I had forgotten to time the process and relied on counting to 6 minutes as I had forgotten my watch. Being of sound mind and body, it took me over 3 minutes to discover that 6 minutes is 360 seconds. So after doing the math, I started counting. I don't claim to be a clever person, but you can imagine my surprise when after counting to 200, I felt a burning desire to rip off my plums and place them in liquid nitrogen. Imagine the surprise as I was told never to leave a job half done, that I carried on counting to 360. Around the 300 mark, I think I blacked out with pain. While in a state of unimaginable pain, I discovered that my backside was on fire and proceeded to cry out. Finally, I reached 360, ran to my chest freezer to dunk my lower half in the cold and hopefully regain some feeling in that area. Taking care not to boil the frozen peas, I cleaned my gentleman's sausage and plums to remove the now boiling substance from them in my back passage.
Does that mean his butthole?
Yes. Can you imagine the sight I found when I could not feel my middle section as pain had now turned to numbness?
What's the middle section?
And what was pink skin was now a beautiful shade of scarlet. Least to say, I was hairless and looking good. Thanks, Veet. You're amazing 5+. Can't wait till next month to do it again.
Oh. What is wrong with you? Plus, doesn't it grow back thicker and longer? And
I don't know. I think this thing might kill the.
This is like Roundup.
Yeah, this might
nothing's growing there.
This might kill it all. So anyway,
I still don't get this.
That's our manscaping review of the day.
You're a 55-year-old portly married man. Why do you need to groom?
It just looks nicer. Why do you cut your toenails and your fingernails?
Because it's hygienic. You don't want gross toes and fungus under them. And
hair catches germs, too. You clean your head, you know, your head hair.
Yeah.
The longer
yes,
it
do.
Is, the more oils there are. Right?
So why doesn't my doctor say, oh, you haven't really shaved your bush lately? I don't think it's really called a bush. But... huh? How come my doctor doesn't recommend
I
trim
it? Maybe he just doesn't like you. I don't know.
It's not doctor recommended.
I had a physical last week.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Did he go through your back passage?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Everything now, okay?
He didn't wear gloves. I'm just wondering if, you know, that means anything.
We were talking at lunch yesterday. I think I have a prostate issue brewing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I've been peeing during the middle of the night, and I don't think my stream is as powerful as
in bed.
Do you have to get up in the Freddie, overnight?
I do not.
I never do.
I do.
Ever, ever.
I didn't used to have to, but I have to now.
You might need what is it, Flomax?
I might. I seem kind of young for that, don't I?
Well, I mean, you've been through a lot down there.
I got to hit the middle of the night pretty
true.
Good and to have to get up in the middle of the night.
My prostate does. I think I feel it when I poop sometimes.
What do you mean? Why would you feel it?
Pressury pain in my butthole sometimes when I poop. I think it's my prostate.
He gets pressure pain.
I can feel
pain.
It right under there in the taint region. I'm being serious.
I know you are. That's why
I'm opening up to you guys, my friends, my coworkers, looking for a little manly advice, and I'm getting...
Go to your doctor. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, instead... This is like that commercial.
You want me to get out a flashlight?
You know what's a good idea?
What the hell do you want from
use
me?
With your back,
use your
not
back,
your knees.
Not your legs.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a place where you can get surgery cheap. I mean, go to your doctor. What are you looking for advice for from your friends?
Then he's going
to
stick his finger up my butt.
Well, I mean, it's either that or, you know.
So let's just pretend there's no issue and go merrily through life.
I'm asking the guys.
And we're telling you, go get a checkup.
Okay, move on.
You know, fortunately, I'm okay in that area.
In that area.
You know? I had the colonoscopy.
Your ticker is ready to give at any minute.
Clean as a whistle with the colonoscopy.
I had a colonoscopy and nobody said anything about my prostate when they were down there for
that. My prostate? How long ago did you have that?
Would you have noticed that? I don't know, a couple few years.
Yeah, so
that's true. I mean, this is a new issue.
Yeah, you should probably. You might just have really bad hemorrhoids. Do you have hemorrhoids?
I don't think so.
Well, you don't know.
Can you check?
No.
Oh my God.
Let's make Kevin do it.
No, he'll screw it up.
Nick from Victoria.
Not in Victoria.
No.
Oh, poor Nick.
He said he was. I was watching Patriots
today. A little later today.
On the importance of OTAs, and I couldn't disagree more with Lindsay Petrucci. She says the additions of Hightower and Jones puts Jonathan Finene on the bubble.
It does not.
No, not at all.
That is 100% inaccurate.
Yeah. I agree that the addition of these two is nothing short of every Patriots fan's draft dreams come true, but to think they'll jump right in year one and replace a solid 2-3 down defensive end is the equivalent of Eric getting laid in France. Just ain't going to happen. But Finney's really not.
He's a
the same position.
Slash tackle tweener, right. Not a outside linebacker athlete tweener.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally different positions.
I don't know the context that was set in, if at all. But yeah, they don't play the same spot. I agree with you guys.
She said, "Hello, everyone."
Now, who would it put on the bubble that was here? That's been here.
Nobody. They're so thin at that spot. If Carter and Anderson were back. Well, now Trevor Scott's on the bubble. Jermaine Cunningham's on the bubble. But I think
Jermaine Cunningham might be a guy on the bubble.
Guess.
Markell Carter, Jermaine Cunningham. Who's the other guy you meant? Trevor Scott. They'll figure out which one of these guys they like the best. And they won't all make the team.
No, but they don't have a ton of people there either.
They don't. It's a thin spot. They don't have a lot of linebackers, period.
I mean.
And I know they really like Ninkovich. I mean, obviously he played so much the last 2 years.
He's the top of the depth chart there on the outside. In that position, out the on-the-line linebackers. As opposed to the off-the-line linebacker.
And that's the other part that we're going to have to really watch as we get to training camp more closely than now, because this is what, Andy?
Depth in June.
Teaching camp, not an evaluation camp, until you get to training camp.
Depth in May?
Yeah, depth in May. That definitely doesn't translate to depth in November. But you're going to have to figure out exactly how they use those guys.
Okay,
Chandler Jones.
Be nice if they
Trevor
brought the
Scott.
Action to the practice field that was in front of us, not the field that was way on the other side.
Yes.
Wyatt Dodge, the Alaskan Cowboy, writes in. He says
he doesn't groom.
He says, and he would know when it's minus.
But he wish he knew how to quit you.
When it's minus 20 here and you use a hot tub, you go numb and you can't tell the difference between the snow and the hot tub. And did you hear that NFL Network said Ridley is their number 4 sleeper?
No, I didn't.
I didn't hear that, but I do. I am very cautiously optimistic on Stephen Ridley this year. Andy wrote a thing. Did you post that? Your little stock thing?
Yes.
Yeah, so
I did the offense. I didn't do the defense.
Running backs is up there already?
Oh, yeah, stock.
And
we talked about this a little bit.
Andy and I are in agreement. I think they have the potential to be better, significantly better, in the running back department. And he's a big reason why.
Okay.
And that's what I was talking about. He said he couldn't tell the difference between snow and being warm or numb. That doesn't sound healthy. That's what I'm talking about. Is that healthy? That feeling that messing with nerves?
Well,
and...
the Native Americans, they do this thing where they go into these sweat boxes almost to the point of passing out, and then they dive into the river. And it's like a...
Didn't a bunch of people just die doing that
a couple years
ago in the
desert? But I guess it's a ritual thing, and I guess it's, really important to them. I don't know.
I think a bunch of people died.
Cormac writes in, I'm over here in Keynes at the film festival.
Well, I don't want to be Eric, but
I can confirm no Eric sightings. I was sure with perhaps the world's most pretentious arts event going on, he may just turn up for a bit of pomp and circumstance. Plus, there are some extremely so hot want to touch the hiney ladies here, which he is truly missing out on.
I like so want to touch the hiney.
Not to mention the many prostitutes who have invaded the town in the hope of some wee wee. I'll be heading up to Paris next week. TV. Unfortunately, I'll have missed Eric, but I'll ask around and see if there was a sudden surge in the sales of Etch-a-Sketches over the past weekend.
Rex lose some weight?
Well, he had laptop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Surgery.
He had the
90-something pounds.
Yeah.
It's not natural, though. He did it with the surgery.
I didn't know that.
I think they both got it. Not sure.
I don't read NFL.com, so I missed the pertinent information.
Not sure
like that.
It took for Rob, because he still looks massive last time I saw it. Remember at the draft?
He was huge.
Yeah.
And he had that surgery?
That's what I read, but it might have been a rumor.
So he had the laparoscopic, Rex did?
Yeah.
I thought he just was on a diet.
No, he got the surgery.
Oh, did he?
Obviously, you don't read NFL.com either.
No, because I knew
Rob had it. Paul.
I heard Rob did had it.
Well, Rob,
yeah, but
Andy's
Rob
right.
is still massive.
Rob
yeah.
was huge at the draft. And that was, what, a month ago?
Remember, there was a Tufts guy next to him. Guy with a Tufts t-shirt on in the war room.
That is correct.
The war room cam.
What's he wearing? A collar?
Like a girdle or something.
A jet shirt.
Oh, okay. It's a polo shirt. It looked like a...
Oh, I thought you meant this commercial.
It looked
the
like
Insta
a...
Insta-slim.
It looked like a dress shirt, but now I see it's a
golf
shirt.
He's got a jet shirt on and Fred's like, what's he wearing?
No, it looked like...
It's
I didn't
polyester.
See the,
you'd never wear
I didn't
wear
see
it.
The short
he
sleeves.
Smells.
I thought it was like a dress shirt. A Jets dress shirt.
What do you care?
Just wondering. Jim in Walpole says, I know this is trivial and meaningless, but hey... It's sadly more interesting than my job. I was wondering if Hightower is going to remain number 45, or are they waiting for a 50s number to open up in camp? I assume Hightower will be a big jersey seller, and 45 is a fullback number. I'm not paying $100 for a fullback jersey.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's that supposed to mean? Fullbacks are people, too.
My and guess is that he will change numbers.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy it. But he can't wear 30, right?
No,
by rule. So it's not even like he can wait for Barrett to get cut. And then
I
take
wouldn't
30.
Be surprised if he takes a 90s number.
Are there 90s available?
I don't know.
According to the roster,
there will be.
Gerard Warren will wear 92.
It could be a 50s number. It could be a 90s number, right? Linebackers, 50s and 90s.
And then 40s.
If there's none right. available. That's the only way they let you do that.
Jamal
right?
from New so. York says the last Veet, or however you spell it, review was by far the funniest. There's more to come, so every...
Well, if you really do groom, then I think you should do a personal...
I don't need to do that. I'm not looking to be hairless, you know?
You just want stubble.
No, it's not stubble either.
What is it? Why do you keep looking over there? Ray Ray's not in there.
I just want to see if we're... You know, Roethlisberger's
is pretty bad.
People
He's
in the
oh, yeah,
studio.
So, like, quarter inch...
Why are you so fascinated?
Because I find it stunning that this man who has hair hanging out of his shirt at all times grooms his testicles shirt. And his whatever.
Tom Brady never shaved.
I don't touch the genitalia.
So you just have really hairy testicles, but above
you have someone else do that
no,
for
but
you?
They're not. I don't need to, is what I'm saying.
I tell you, I think I had a gray hair on my nuts. I think I'm aging overnight.
You spend a lot of time down there, do you?
I clean it.
Sucking know, back on
between
Grandpa's
the back
cough,
and
sir.
The front and all these problems that you have. What do you have? Two-way mirrors all over your house? You're looking at yourself?
You don't find it strange, fascinating
yes, I do.
That he trims himself?
But how long are we going to go with this?
Till I get to the bottom of
it. It's been years that he's shared this
oh,
with
you
us
want to get to the
reason.
Bottom of it?
No, I don't. Do you take
that
care
would be
of...
A typical Andy
yeah, I got right, it. I got right. it. Fred.
Do you use the Veet on your back passage?
No. This guy's.
I don't know why anybody would do that.
I don't either, but it's not new. We've known that he's done this for years.
I didn't know. I didn't know when he said he man-groomed, he meant everything. I thought he meant like his chest.
Well, you didn't just
back,
find that
his...
out today, but you seem
no,
to be preoccupied with it today.
You know it when you see it or hear it.
Is this for like the key parties you go to or something? Those freaks like you to be clean-shaven?
George Clooney was also Roseanne's boss in Roseanne.
That is correct.
I didn't know that.
What? Booker, I think his name was.
Really?
The diner?
No, at the factory that she worked at. Oh, I forget what they used. I forget what she did.
Strippers writes in, this is from Mike Reese's blog, spent a lot of time watching the offensive line, and while noting it's very, very early, I was interested to see how the center position would be handled. Dan Connolly lined up there, followed by Dan Copen. That's what was expected based on the contracts signed by each. Connolly received a three-year deal with a $3.25 million signing bonus, while Copen received a two-year deal with a $350,000 signing bonus. But that's been Copen's job since 2003. The Patriots usually like their backup linemen to have position versatility, and Copen has only played center, so his spot on the roster could be something to monitor in training camp.
That's what we talked about, and that's why I asked Dan if he was fighting for a job.
Okay, now let me, now that it's out there so we can talk about these positional groupings without getting in trouble, I sort of alluded to some of that a little bit earlier. I found it interesting that Ryan Wendell was the right guard in that group that Mike Reese is just talking about, not Dan Connolly.
Right.
So does that lead you to believe they're pretty sure that Waters is going to come back?
I guess.
Or is that too much to add, to read into?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of reading. But okay. Only they know that. Or they don't.
That is true.
Well, isn't
those are the two options.
But isn't that a possibility at this point?
That they know it or they don't know it?
No, that they,
yes,
they think they know, but they're not sure?
Yeah, I just was wondering if
Joe Panos?
If they had an idea that Waters wasn't going to come back.
I think he's Hightower's agent.
Is he Hightower's agent?
One of them. One of our retiring offensive linemen is an agent.
I believe he represents the Wisconsin linemen, too. Kahns and Zeitler.
Oh, the guy that Bilo wanted to draft?
I want to say that they talked about Joe Panos.
But Bilo. You wanted an offensive lineman.
By the way, I believe he was a Wisconsin
lineman. Hot dogs and sausages.
Panos. That one gets me every time.
Bilo doesn't find it funny.
He doesn't like that?
I saw him yesterday and yelled it across like the plaza. Hot dogs and sausage.
I'm not the brightest guy in the world.
He doesn't like
He's
that.
He's humorless. Absolutely humorless.
And that's what Andy and I said to him.
The TV guys, they're very
sensitive.
Yeah, they are sensitive.
Why?
Well, then you would think that they wouldn't talk in such a, you know, completely unnatural way.
Well, to be
hot
fair,
dogs
he was
and
doing
sausages.
A public announcement.
But why wouldn't you just say hot dogs and sausages?
You're trying to get people excited about wanting hot dogs.
But it's not a big deal. Hot dogs and
I say
sausages.
Stuff that sounds funny. You say stuff that sounds funny on TV, on radio, on, you know, he's on internet TV.
Tile
he thinks
game.
Himself.
We,
all, like
we always
the
remember
star.
when Andy, you know, said that the offense has a lot of weapons and can score in a variety of ways.
Yes, right. And it was funny. It was stupid. We move on. I mean,
it's
you've
just
done.
Like, it's just like hello, everyone. It's the same
exactly.
Thing.
But Bilo is like Mr. Serious. Can't laugh at anything.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on PVN.
All right. Cody writes in, I'm not going to lie, I don't miss Eric all that much, but sometimes I just wonder what he's actually doing over there.
Don't.
My mind wanders to the whorehouse. I can't imagine that. Thanks for the updates. You guys are all that gets me through the off season. So, good. And, Jeff Howe just tweeted about Waters, according to Strippers. The tweet says, no need to be concerned about Waters' absence, according to a source, still at home with family per his usual off-season routine.
Yeah, but what if he always stays at home with family?
That's what I think Andy's point is. He himself might think, today, May 24th, yeah, I'm coming back. And all of a sudden it gets to, you know, August 24th, and he says, you know what?
I ain't coming back.
Yeah,
Paul, given the fact that you got Howe the job over at the Herald.
That's untrue.
Well, you're a kingmaker. He's a kingmaker.
For everyone but myself.
But, you know, they were looking for the new name for his blog because they had to change it from the rap sheet, obviously. Can't call it that. And my suggestion was, how's it going? Right?
And he went with a generic.
The Blitz.
Well,
come on.
Yeah. But my guess is,
Andy and I thought,
that's just for the paper so they don't have to keep rebranding it. Our Herald football blog is The Blitz. Whether it's Jeff Howe, whether it's Paul Perillo, whether it's Karen Garigian.
Although I
did
hear
the other
one
issue. Karen Garigian was posting a lot of stuff on the rap sheet that the rap sheet, crap sheet, took credit for.
Right.
I heard one today.
A blog that I liked.
And I don't
Better
know how long.
Better than from the heart.
A good friend of the show, Eric Friends.
Yeah.
Who was actually filled in on Patriots
hosted.
Talk on radio and hosted. He's been very good to us. And I guess he has a blog, Words with Friends.
Yeah, I like that.
That's good.
Now, I don't know if that's new, and I apologize if it's not new, and I'm just getting around it, but today was the first time I heard it. That's excellent wordplay.
But
right
not
there.
On a plane.
But you don't like How's It Going?
Commercial.
I like it better than The Blitz, but I think there's an issue. There's multiple people posting to it, and there's a chance that he leaves in a year, and you know, you rebrand
him
in
a new
name.
See, I would do that. I would rather have a catchy name for the blog and then change it again.
Mine still says Reese's Pieces in my link in
for the Globe.
Explorer when I go to the Globe.
Yeah. Same with me.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW Progress.
Are we done? What's going on?
We got NCAA Final Four lacrosse all weekend. I'll be here all weekend.
Do you have a meeting? Are you leaving early to go to a meeting?
I got things to do. It's 3 o'clock for crying out loud.
Siri says it's 2:58.
Thanks for listening, everybody. OTAs today. A lot of stuff going up on Patriots.com later today, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.